hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! A little more than a minute past the hour. Welcome to this Tuesday edition of The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is the Head On Radio Network. We call it Conversation Radio. It's available in a variety of formats, either live or via podcast. It's available at iTunes Radio simply by going to the WhiteRoseSociety.org Head On page, which you can scroll down to. You can get it at Tuner Internet Radio, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher Radio, and a variety of other platforms of which I am not, or with which I am not yet familiar. And before we get going this evening, I'll go ahead and say it. We try to raise between $60 and $100 a night. And it would be nice if we could raise somewhere between $110 and $190 tonight, because last night, thank you very kindly for the one contribution, last night, $10. So, need some thrifty 250 folks to step up in any combination that you wish. The PayPal button is at headonradionetwork.com under the tab Contribute. However, just a little reminder, if you wish to not have that fee come out, then simply go to your PayPal page and PayPal your horn contribution. BobKincaid@gmail.com is the PayPal email address, the same as my regular email address. PayPal it that way and click personal and gift, and there, no fees attach. Cool, huh? Of course, you can always go with snail mail, but sometimes the mail doesn't get here, as I have experienced of late with a couple of different parcels. I checked with Boss Man Wayne about one that came in December that apparently was never received, and another that I mentioned last week where a kind cash contribution didn't arrive, but the card in which it was mailed did, having been slit open somewhere along the way. People, you know. But anyway, this is a listener-funded program, so that's all there is to it. Frankly, it would be lovely to close the program having met both last night's and tonight's fundraising goals, and that's certainly certainly my hope. Thank you, Kath. Thank you for that those kind words. She says she really loves the show and the sense of community in the chat room. Have you ever been to the chat room? It's a fun place. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com/chatroom. Easy to register for and fun to participate in. Well, hung some prepositions out at the end of both of those. You'll have that. It's Tuesday. What are you going to say? I guess we can all agree what the big story is this evening, right? The Proposition 8 ruling in the 9th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals. I was seeing it. I was seeing it break, and at the same time, I got an email from our buddy, Dr. John in New York. He said, from my reading, it looks like great news, as the panel seemed to make a very narrowly tailored, i.e. strong, ruling that will be tough to strike down. And that much is true. My understanding of it, and having briefly looked at the opinion itself, they didn't go as far and wide as the trial court judge had, and instead limited it to California issues, which might make it a little more palatable, both to the full panel of the U.S. Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals and to the Supreme Court when it eventually gets there. But John goes on and notes, he says, I was lurking at hashtag Prop 8 on Twitter, and it was magical. It exploded. constant 50 new or 60 new or 100 new updates. I was scanning them, and everyone was positive. This is great news, a victory for families and equality, and so on. And then a tweet from Newt Gingrich appeared. That's right, Dr. Newton Leroy Gingrich, amateur paleontologist. And it was really him, says John, since he had over 1 million followers. It was so nasty. Something about how this shows an out-of-control judiciary in action. Typical, isn't it? Yeah. First of all, no it doesn't, says John. It shows that the judiciary is functioning exactly as it should. The case will now proceed either to the full appeals court or to the Supreme Court of the United States as our process mandates. It's not out of control. It's the way things work. If he doesn't understand that, then why is Dr. Newton Leroy Gingrich qualified to run for president? Short answer, he's not. He's not qualified to be much more than the overfed, overbearing, overstuffed, bombastic grifter that he is. And second, notes John, it really highlighted how mean, nasty, and out of touch the right wing is. What a striking image. Tons of happy people virtually partying in the street, and this one sad old man yelling against progress. Captures it rather succinctly, don't you think? Very succinctly indeed. Sad, old, scared, pasty-faced, doughy white people worried about how two people manifest their love for each other in the form of a binding long-term commitment. Now, see, I'm a little bit crazy. I think that these right-wing attempts to define marriage within the scope of their weird religious leanings should be broadly stricken down. It should be stricken down on broad principles of the Equal Protection Clause and the right to due process. And it should be done in such a way that people can get married if they choose to in every state in the Union. That's what my heart wants. My mind knows that it has to be different. But it's what my heart wants. And it's what the side of me that looks at something like the Equal Protection Clause, it feels like ultimately kind of has to happen. Either the Equal Protection Clause means what it says, or it's some sort of vanity that we engaged in after the Civil War, which we have since decided only applies when we decide that the people who are aggrieved and crying out for protection under the Equal Protection Clause deserve it. Hint, that latter interpretation, well, that's indicative of a failed state. Right? So, if you wish, we can talk about this at length in the program, if that's what's on your mind. There are a number of other stories, though, and, you know, I like these little stories, or not little, but not national or ostensibly not national stories, because they give us, I think, a better picture of where America really is. Marriage freedom may come to California. Eventually, it'll come to the whole country. And I yearn for that day. As Ray notes, however, he says, yeah, but the court that gave us Citizens United will not give us gay marriage. and not even gay marriage, marriage equity, where everybody can get married if they want to, and if they find another individual willing to. Imagine that. This is a Supreme Court that didn't have any problem determining that corporations are immortal citizens of the United States, but will have a great moral struggle based upon nothing more than religious principles when it comes to determining the outcome of the present litigation over Proposition 8, or Prop 8, as it is more appropriately named. Yeah, let that one rattle around a little bit and see how it shakes out. David in Tennessee noting, just like the mythic old man, Mr. Fencewaller, yelling at a kid chasing a ball across his grass, there's Newt, sad old man screaming at folks that want to get married. Hey, you weird homos, get off my sanctity of marriage, all three of them! Newt. And you know, he's still alive. I don't know what kind of hold Callista has over him. It's probably called a prenuptial agreement. Now, Newton, you remember, I get everything. Don't you go fooling around. No, you won't do that, will you? Get off my sanctity of marriage. All three of them. In these moments, we see what it is to leave the dinosaurs behind, because that's what this is about. The responses the responses are sadly typical. This is a clear case of a finding of discrimination. But let's see. Yeah, here's the actual quote from Dr. Newton Leroy Gingrich.
Court of Appeals overturning California's Proposition 8, another example of an out-of-control judiciary.
But the judiciary isn't out of control when it declares that corporations are immortal citizens of the United States. You got that? Okay, you got the memo now. You understand how it works. Then there's the National Organization for Marriage. You know, you'd think something named the National Organization for Marriage would be all in favor of more people being able to get married, but no, it's another one of those ironic monikers with which the right-winger forever besetting us. I've got a story about that somewhere back here, I think. Who is that creepy bastard? Oh, yeah, Richard Berman. Richard Berman, not the Star Trek guy. National Organization for Marriage, it sounds like it's, but no, it's just a right-wing front group for hateful old cranky people. And it's something the right-wing is very, very good at. If you were watching the Super Bowl a couple of nights ago, only in a certain part of the country would you have seen the anti-union ad that ran in one of the local avails. Typical right-wingery. And it came from an organization that favors so-called right-to-work legislation, you know, right-to-starve stuff. And the organization behind it is a front group that was put together by Richard Berman, a sleazy K Street hired gun for the right wing, who cranks out AstroTurf front groups left and right, all in the name of his filthy corporate clients. He runs, in fact, something on the order of 23 different AstroTurf groups. And one of them was the Center for Union Facts. that ran the sleazy ad Sunday evening. But there are others, and he holds a position with every organization. ActivistCash.com, FishScam.com. FishScam.com? What? Great little logo, FishScam.c, and then the O is a bobber, you know, a red and white bobber, M. FishScam.com. What? There's a fish scam out there? Yes, there is. It's from the equally Orwellianly named Center for Consumer Freedom. The whole damn thing's funded by the food and beverage industry. And their job is to scream down scientific evidence on the dangers of mercury levels in fish. Eat more fish, damn it! Then put on your hat with the 6 7/8 on it, and we'll sit down and have tea with a little blonde girl in a blue smock on a pinafore. You know, there's millions that gets poured into this. For instance, over at Virginia Polytechnic Institute, VPI, otherwise known as Virginia Tech, they've got a new front group that is funded to the tune of some $15 million. And it's called ARIES, A-R-I-E-S, ARIES. And its sole purpose, one of its primary purposes is to attack the emerging, ongoing science that proves that mountaintop removal is killing people and poisoning babies in the womb and making them be born not quite right like you would expect, you know, like with compromised hearts and lungs and brains and innards, right? I mean, the science is real. It's been peer-reviewed, but there's $15 million at the Ares Center to crank. I mean, I bet you can crank out a lot of bullshit for $15 million, don't you? Sometimes it's fun not to be on terrestrial radio and say words like that when you really feel them. And you know, one of those God of Irony moments, it's called the Ares Project. Ares, of course, is the ancient Greek name for their god of war. He went on to become the god Mars in the Roman pantheon, but he was Ares in the Greek pantheon. And these clueless bastards didn't even realize that they had just named their group after a war god, when in fact every coal company in central Appalachia is at war with the very ability of human beings to live on the planet in this particular region. But back to Richard Berman, ActivistCash.com. They disclose the money that goes into being activists if they're anti-big business. I mean, listen to the names of these things, because you just know that they're sitting around with a bottle of bourbon between them. Hey, wait a minute. Let's name it fishscam.com. All the rubes will love that. The Center for Consumer Freedom. That's a front group that attacks anybody who criticizes smoking, fast food, or alcohol. CSPI scam. You know what they do? They criticize the Center for Science in the Public Interest. No, really. Employment Policies Institute. MercuryFacts.org. Hi, I'm from MercuryFacts.org. Did you know it's really fun to play with? It's neat. They called it Quicksilver in the Middle Ages because it's a metal, but it balls up like a liquid, and you can just play with it and roll it around on your desk. Why don't you do that? And don't forget to lick your fingers. Teachers Union Facts. SunlightScam.com. SunlightScam.com represents the manufacturers of indoor tanning devices, and argues that tanning is not dangerous in any way. By the way, speaking of SunlightScam.com and the tanning bed industry, they gave $5,000 to John Boehner. No, really. And a free pair of those little goggles. employee freedom, unionfacts.com, rotten acorn, howmuchfish.com. That's the food and beverage industry, again, with the mercury. PETAKillsAnimals.com. SweetScam.com. I hate them especially because their job out there is to get people to think that high fructose corn syrup doesn't actually burn up people's insides. Labor pains. Step Up Wyoming. Employee Rights Act. HumaneWatch.org. Again, funded by the food and beverage industry to attack the Humane Society of the United States. Yeah, well, you get the idea. But so, you know, it's the same thing with the National Organization for Marriage. They're interested in anything but promoting marriage. They instead are interested in promoting bigotry. Andy Pugno is general counsel for the ProtectMarriage.com's coalition. And he said, "We will immediately appeal this misguided decision that disregards the will of more than 7 million Californians who voted to restore marriage as the unique union of only a man and a woman. We are confident that the rights of California voters will finally win out." Actually, if we took out our Star Trek translator and listened as he said that, it would have said, "We are confident that the bigotry of a segment of California voters will finally win out." Memo to New Jersey Governor Chris Christie: this is what happens when you put civil rights to a vote. Just saying. Our buddy Jim noting, Newt, sanctity of marriage, given his marital history, what a joke. He has the morals of a tomcat. Jim, I personally think you're being kind of hard on the tomcats. David in Tennessee, Newt being true. I say Callista dons an oh-so-fitted black patent leather bustier, picks up a whip, and puts Dr. Newt and Leroy Gingrich through a few obedience training paces once the lights grow dim. I will bet a house payment on that. I'll also bet Mistress Callista has hours of video as part of her retirement benefits package associated with that sanctified marriage. Yeah. I don't even like the metal. Ooh! 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 Yuck! I just had a mental image of Newt in the gimp mask, and it was... Boo! Mmm! Quick, liquor. Where? No, not like that. Who's been a bad doggy, Newt? Woof! Or probably more like with the tennis ball and the duct tape in his mouth. Jesus, thanks for the image, David. I owe you one. Oh, that hurt. No, but there's... that's the big story, but I like some of these less known stories or more regionalized stories, stories of, you know, roads being ground up and turned back into gravel. I don't like stories of Tennessee fire departments letting houses burn to the ground, but they are instructive, are they not? Stories of Arizona school boards removing William Shakespeare because they don't want to talk none of that ethnic business. We've described those stories in the past as little road marks on the road to collapse. Now, I don't want to get all coast to coast or anything. That's not what I mean. But these are the evidences of a nation that is not, and a polity and a society and a culture that is not at all well. And this here is the story of David Carter. David Carter of Wisconsin. A story from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. A story by Jim Stengel. David Carter told people and friends in 2007 that he was quitting his job and moving to New Mexico. It was about late 2007. Everybody said, gosh, we sure liked him. I hope he's doing well out in New Mexico. But all the time he was up in the second floor of his home, dead. Because David Carter, once he'd bid everyone farewell and told them he was going to New Mexico, went upstairs and blew his brains out. Because, you see, David Carter's home had been foreclosed on. In late 2007 came and went, 2008, 2009, 2010, 2011. And on January the 23rd, 2012, a real estate worker from the Milwaukee County Treasurer's Office with a locksmith in company went to the door. Because the previous month, the house had been deeded to the county, to Milwaukee County, in a tax foreclosure. The house was full of spider webs, and David Carter was little more than a skeleton. Everybody in West Allis, Wisconsin, thought David Carter had gone to New Mexico, like he said. The utilities folks came and turned off the water and the power. His neighbors kept mowing his grass because, well, neighbors do that, and you want to make sure that you know, because one untended house can make the rest of the neighborhood look pretty rough. The neighbors shoveled his snow. When the neighbors didn't, the city of West Allis brought in their own lawnmowers and snow shovels and added that cost to his property taxes. They shut the water off after a neighbor noticed a stream of water running from the house because apparently a pipe had burst. Nobody really noticed because there's nothing particularly strange about an empty, run-down house falling apart after in a time and in a place where there are lots of those. But David Carter was there and had been there all along. You know, when we consider these foreclosure stories, it's hard not to consider the business side of the ledger, if you will. One of the largest lenders, foreclosure service companies, you know, they provide services to lenders who are foreclosing on people, is an organization called DocX, just like it sounds. Capital D, O-C, capital X, DocX. They take care of the irritating little details associated with foreclosures. And there's been sort of a first. Boone County, Missouri, and the grand jury sitting therein recently heard the presentation of evidence against Doc X. And returned an indictment. They returned an indictment against Doc X for forgery in preparing documents that were used to evict people from their homes. There's a little bit more of a victory because it's not just the corporation, you know, the immortal American citizen, that's being indicted. It is also the company's founder and former president, one Lorraine O. Brown. Doc X is an individual unit within Lender Processing Services of Jacksonville, Florida. And during the worst part of the foreclosure crisis, they literally processed and notarized millions of mortgage documents. Lender Processing closed them conveniently, Doc X, in April 2010. Because the great weight of evidence that Doc X had been engaging in what was, well, and we've discussed it on this program, robo-signing. Remember the robo-signers? The folks who just off the street, hey, you want to work? Yeah, you want a job? Come here. Doc X has been indicted for 136 counts of forgery. And the Attorney General of Missouri himself is going to handle the prosecution. His name is Chris Koster. Chris Koster said the grand jury indictment alleges that mass-produced fraudulent signatures on notarized real estate documents constitutes forgery. Today's indictment reflects our firm conviction that when you sign your name to a legal document, it matters. Anybody want to do some math on the fly? Lorraine O. Brown is facing 7 years per count. Let's see, 7 times 6 is 42. That's a 2. Carry the 4. 7 times 3 is 21. 4, 26. Yeah, that's like 100 and some years, huh? If she were to be sentenced consecutively and not concurrently, we can certainly root for the consecutive sentencing. The corporation itself is liable to the tune of $10,000 for each forgery conviction, should it be convicted. You gotta love lawyers, though. The lawyer at Rosenblum, Schwartz, Rogers, and Glass, Scott Rosenblum, who represents Doc X, said, "We have not had an opportunity to review the indictment at this point. The company intends to enter a plea of not guilty." Well, of course they do, Scott, because then you can bill the company $1,000 an hour, which is just one-tenth of the fine per count. You're a bargain, aren't you, Scott? The allegation is that Ms. Brown knowingly, in concert with Doc X and its employees, misled and defrauded the Boone County, Missouri Recorder of Deeds. See, this isn't a case about ripping off foreclosure victims. This is a fraud practiced upon the governmental entity that it was the maintainer of the official records of Boone County, Missouri. Lender Processing is having a tough life these days. They were sued in August of 2011 by American Home Mortgage Servicing, who had hired Lender Processing, and alleged that Lender Processing dummied up something on the order of 30,000 residential mortgages foreclosure papers. But fear not, because Michelle Kirsch spokesperson with Lender Processing says that now that Lender Processing has stringent controls in place to ensure compliance with all rules. How about that? Wonder why not earlier? Well, because they could. Because it was a feeding frenzy, wasn't it? Yeah, it was. Oh, Jim, you're in a bad, bad place, my friend. Ooh, I can see Ballista in a dominatrix outfit with new trust from the rafters. I bet they have a real dungeon in their Virginia shop of horrors. Thank you, ma'am. May I have another? Yeah, but that's where it is. Your imaginations. You just insist on making my little eyeballs burn, don't you? But here on this Tuesday, no small amount of weirdness and sickness from the right wing. You know who Pete Hoekstra is, Hoekstra. You pick one. Whatever I pick, I'll be wrong. He's decided he wants to unseat Senator Debbie Stabenow from Michigan. And he's running ads, and I'm getting his filthy little right-wing PR blasts. Really icky stuff. Naturally, he's staying to the high road, right? No, he's a Republican, please. Pete Hoekstra. I think I've got all the vowels covered there. Has a new ad. And he wants people to understand that Debbie Stabenow is not a real American, to wit.
Thank you, Michigan Senator Debbie Stabenow. Debbie spends so much American money. You borrow more and more from us. Your economy gets very weak. Ours get very good. We take your jobs. Thank you, Debbie Stabenow.
I think this race for U.S. Senate is between Debbie Spend It Now and Pete Spend It Not. I'm Pete Spend It Not Hoekstra, and I approve this message.
Oh, that's how we pronounced it. Okay. Yeah, lovely young Asian woman riding up on a bicycle. Thank you, Debbie Spend It Now. Your economy bad, our economy good. This couldn't be any more ridiculous this is worse than South Park, because it's being offered up as legitimate political discourse in this country. There's nothing in there except pure racism. And, of course, Pete Hoekstra, is that how he pronounced it? Won't back down from it. Because, well, you know, it's a legitimate ad. The ad is only insensitive to Debbie Stabenow and her spending. Because, of course, there's a double down on that. You know, she's a woman and she just likes to spend. I'm a man. Right? It's racist, it's xenophobic, and it is completely to be expected. You remember when Citizens Against Government Waste, we did that, we covered that, we talked about that at length, that weird ad that showed the professor, the Chinese professor, lecturing his crowd about how Rome fell because it had a deficit, and that the Americans were going to wind up working for us. Remember, this is more of that. Because you see, a right-winger shamelessly beholden to the very corporations that have taken American jobs to China can't win on the issues. The only thing they have in the world is hate and fear and bigotry and prejudice and xenophobia and racism and misogyny. And somehow or another, Pete Hoekstra managed to work every last damn bit of that into his commercial. I never cease to be amazed, but by the same token, I sometimes wish I could be. It would be refreshing if I could be, but no. These are Republicans behaving as Republicans behave. If your opponent is a female, attack that. If your opponent is popular, try to gin up. I mean, there's no connection. There is no connection between Debbie Stabenow and China. None. The woman has struggled tirelessly to protect the auto industry in Michigan. So we'll just, I don't know. Well, she can't say love you long time. Thank you, Debbie. Spend it now. Oh, but see, we can work in a little bit of that subtext with the spend it, see, spend it, get it. Pretty little Asian. Right, yeah. Why not? Sure. It's just how they are. You'd say that they can't help it, except it's well, I don't know. I don't know. What kind of vacuum must there be wherever what should be, or wherever a sense of human decency should be? What kind of vacuum is there, or what kind of place that's just filled with like snails and slimy slithery things? What kind of place is that inside what would otherwise pass for the soul of Pete Hoekstra? I don't know. I wish they weren't, but they are. I wish Newton Leroy Gingrich didn't feel compelled. Well, this is an out-of-control court! When the only way that it's out of control is if you define out of control as being responsive to the needs of the people as opposed to the bigots. That's it's all I can figure. And again, it's just pathetic. So let's get the conversation started. What do you say? Can't help but think that would be a good thing. You know how to reach the program, right? Toll free, it's 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on. On your own nickel, it's 304-658-3333. Email comes in to Bob Kincaid, B-O-B-K-I-N-C-A-I-D, at gmail.com. So we've taken care of that, right? You really didn't want to hear that sneeze, and sometimes they're a while coming. Probably would have blown up speakers. But anyway, we'll take a little break, and we'll be back. This is, after all, Conversation Radio, right? Sure. This is The Horn, and I'm Bob.
Preparing for the future of our children, our grandchildren, and our wild, wonderful West Virginia. Developing our renewable energy resources is the best way to ensure a clean, sustainable way of life and safe, good-paying jobs for generations to come. Here in the Mountain State, our most abundant energy resource is the wind. Our ridges and majestic mountain peaks shape and direct the wind like stones in a mountain stream. Coal River Mountain is the ideal place for developing wind power. The Coal River Mountain Wind Farm will provide us with a source of clean energy and good jobs forever. We have the power to make our future happen now. Be a part of the clean energy solution for West Virginia by visiting coalriverwind.org or call 304-854-2182. That's coalriverwind.org, 854-2182.
It's Tuesday, February 7, 2012.
Whacked out winter weather 2012. Record cold in Europe. It's now minus 11, and many people in this queue of traffic have been here for over 12 hours.
Record warm in the U.S.
We're on pace now to have our warmest winter on record.
The most anti-environment Republican Party ever. Plus...
Yeah, it's halftime, America. And our second half's about to begin.
Forget halftime. It's the greenest Super Bowl yet.
All of that and more straight ahead, punk. From BradBlog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
And once again, Phil saw his shadow predicting 6 more weeks. Damn it! I don't know about you, but I cannot take 6 more weeks of 55 degrees.
This is your Green News Report.
I am sick and tired of wearing these heavy winter sandals.
Okay, Dez, we're out west in California. It's almost always warm out here, but the rest of the country, a warmer than usual winter, to say the least.
Yes, and it's also drier, and if that continues, it can cause drought later on this year. More on that in a moment, but first...
Unless there's a valid and legitimate and compelling governmental purpose, I don't know why the government owns so much of this land.
That was Republican presidential candidate Mitt Romney, unclear on the concept of public lands in a meeting with the editorial board of the Reno Gazette Journal. Colorado and Minnesota caucuses are on Tuesday this week, and Romney might want to know that in Colorado, 93% of voters believe public lands are, quote, an essential part of Colorado's economy and are in favor of tourism, mining, and natural resources being managed for the public good, with the revenues going to the public. And that includes 75% of Colorado's so-called Tea Partiers. Romney's rival for the Republican nomination, Representative Ron Paul, went even further, telling Nevadans he opposes all public ownership of federal lands, saying that public lands should go to the states and be sold off to private owners.
I want as much land to be turned, federal land to be turned over to the state as possible, yeah. And I don't want the federal government dictating to Nevada, period.
But surprise, public lands are enshrined in the property clause of the Constitution.
The what?
Yes, the Constitution, because the framers believed in managing the public commons for the public good, all of the public.
Are you saying Ron Paul failed to read the Constitution?
Apparently, or maybe he just doesn't care. On Capitol Hill, the League of Conservation Voters Environment Report Card is out, confirming that this Congress is the most anti-environmental Congress ever. Check out your representative's grades at lcv.org. Meanwhile, the whacked-out extreme weather continues, as predicted with global warming. Australia is now seeing its second year in a row of record flooding in New South Wales. And in the Northern Hemisphere, a deep, persistent cold snap extending from the UK across to the Ukraine has killed at least 360 people so far, with record-breaking cold temperatures and snowfall, snow as far south as the Mediterranean coast, cutting off supply routes and snarling transportation.
It's now minus 11, and many people in this queue of traffic have been here for over 12 hours. They're cold, they're tired, they're hungry, and many are now starting to run out of fuel.
So, it's cold out in Europe. Clearly, that means there's no global warming, right?
Except here in the U.S., where that's in direct contrast to our exceptionally mild winter. Snowfall is well below average in the U.S. due to a particularly extreme Arctic weather pattern known as the Arctic Oscillation. Some scientists are theorizing that the massive loss of sea ice in the Arctic may be changing the jet stream as open water absorbs more of the sun's heat and warms the atmosphere. January 2012 was the fourth warmest January for the lower 48, according to the National Snow and Ice Data Center. Meteorologist Jeff Masters of Weather Underground tells NPR that if current trends hold, winter 2012 is shaping up to be the warmest winter on record for the continental U.S., and he can no longer predict what will happen next.
I've been a meteorologist for 30 years, and when I look at the atmosphere over the last couple years, it's really not the atmosphere I know anymore.
Finally, did you see Clint Eastwood's ad celebrating the comeback of the American auto industry?
But we all pull together. Now Motor City is fighting again.
Setting aside the predictable right-wing freakout and the claims that Eastwood is shilling for Obama, even though Eastwood is a registered Republican who criticized the auto industry bailout and donated to John McCain in the 2008 presidential campaign, lost amid all of this ginned-up controversy was the fact that this Super Bowl was the greenest yet. The National Football League offset the greenhouse gas emissions from the electricity used at all 6 NFL venues by purchasing renewable energy certificates from Green Mountain Energy, a wind wind power company.
I should add to that, Rush Limbaugh today is claiming that Clint Eastwood was conned into doing that commercial.
I'd like to see Rush say that to Clint Eastwood's face.
Oh, come on. Make my day. For more on all of our stories today and those we didn't get to, please check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. While you're there, please consider a donation to help sponsor the Green News, since our Super Bowl ad money just hasn't shown up yet. From bradblog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report. Sing it, Clint.
I talk to the trees, but they don't listen to me. I talk to the stars, but they never hear me.
Total Genius, it's not your mother's soap.
Hey dude, wait 1 second, it's totally my mother's soap.
Total Genius, it's not your father's soap.
No, see, right here I've got soap for my dad.
And you know what? It's not just soap. Look, stuff for my dog.
Holy crap, there's even stuff for all my pregnant friends.
And hippies.
And hey, dude, loosen that tie. Try it again.
Total Genius, we got your soap right here.
And don't forget about that body stuff.
www.bubblegenius.com.
It's your second hour in the liberal sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
While I was having trouble trying to figure out how to pronounce H-O-E-K-S-T-R-A, well, it didn't slow our buddy Tom in California down at all. What's his name? Hoekstra? H-O-A-X-T-R-A? Yeah. Because that's the idea of tying Debbie Stabenow to some sort of Chinese monetary policy. And, you know, there's not even any, the Chinese government holds something like 9% of our debt. Shh, hint. There are other countries, white folks' countries, that hold a lot more of our debt, but you don't see any right-wingers having hissies about the UK holding American debt or the Dutch. Oh, wait a minute, Pete. Hoekstra probably can't complain about... Well, oh, dear me. Okay. All has been revealed. I'm all better now. Okay, thanks. Yeah. Straight away to the phones. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, Juanita.
I wanted to do a little follow-up on what you were talking about yesterday, just a couple of things about the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
About the halftime show.
Yep, right.
To me, one of the best ones was Diana Ross, when she, to me, she's extremely talented. I love her. But to me, when she got in that helicopter, did you see that? And she flew away. And she
I don't even remember that.
Dangling.
I don't even remember that.
About 10 years ago. But that was the best one I've seen. And... you know, and then I think there was one where I'm pretty sure it was Oprah Winfrey fell through the stage because they had covered up a black pole hole or something and didn't put...
Oh, dear, something like out of a Roadrunner cartoon. Instant hole.
But she was, like, announcing something. I don't know, but anyway. But I'm kind of like y'all about the... I think they need to do something else. I mean... need to do something different.
I don't know who would possibly be next. Maybe it can be Lady Antebellum or something, singing about getting liquored up and missing somebody.
Well, thank you. But I didn't watch the last end because I switched to that show, too. I've been watching that show that everybody was talking about on PBS.
Oh, Downton Abbey?
Yeah.
Yeah, there will be no spoilers. I know nothing about it, so I can't ruin it for anybody.
Well, it's about...
Well, no, I mean about what the coming...
World War I.
Right, but about what the coming season's going to be.
It's
so.
Probably going to be different because, I mean, it's going to be about approaching World War II or something because World War I was over. And they had another one. They had a part of just a couple of upstairs, downstairs.
Mm-hmm.
1 week following that show, and it was about. I didn't realize how many people in England were drawn to the Nazi Party. You know, when he was first starting out and everything.
Well, right up to the Duke of Windsor.
Well, yeah. They went over there and had a party.
Yeah, exactly.
Him and her. How about that?
Yeah, he and Wallace Simpson, exactly.
But you have to admire the ones that were the, you know, the king, queen. They refused to leave London, even with the bombing and all. And they had, I think it was a good thing for the country they had them instead of him.
without a doubt.
With Wally. But, anyway, no, that's what you were telling about that man, about his home and all.
Mm-hmm.
That is so sad, isn't it?
It's pitiful.
It is pitiful. I heard one of the Congress ladies, one of ours,
mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's in the Senate or in the House, she was talking today. She's one telling people not to leave their home because nobody knows who owns what. But, she was saying that all these Wall Street people needed to be arrested and sent to scrub the floors for the homeless people. But anyway.
Well, you know, there was one story out today, Juanita, that the Occupy folks had moved in on the lawn of a former Marine to keep him from being thrown out of his home.
Oh, wow. Well, we just can't have that, can we?
Yeah, you know, when's the last time you heard a story about a bunch of teabaggers sitting on the lawn of somebody to keep them from being thrown out of their home?
Yeah,
me neither. Never.
Me neither. But one thing I wanted to say was I kind of got upset last night. I heard about them passing this jobs plan. You heard about all that?
Continue, please.
They did it during the night. And it was the main instigator was Reed. And we had, like, Barbara Boxer voted for it. Of course, your Rockefeller voted for it.
Aye.
And I forget some of the other senators, but, it's very, very disappointing. There was, like, 75 to whatever. 75-4. And relenting to the Republicans?
No, oh, the bowing and scraping,
and,
kowtowing.
Yeah, Boehner, you know, was involved in it. It's already passed the House.
Well, the next big thing you can expect from John Boehner is he is raising a ruckus to get the Keystone XL pipeline included in the upcoming transportation bill. You know, highway funding.
Yeah.
So that's they just go from one hostage to the next.
With the Democrats, we have, you know, them. They'll have no problem, I'm sure.
I wish it wasn't true.
I know.
Well, I mean, look, they control the House, so they're going to do what they're going to do over there. The question is,
but the Senate don't have to go along with it.
Yeah, and see, this is a case in point. This Pete Hoekstra,
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah.
Now this clown is running against Debbie Stabenow, who is a senator of some considerable tenure there in Michigan.
Right.
And it sort of highlights the dangers that we face in 2012. Yes, there's a presidential election, Juanita, but the Senate is the real, I hate to use the imagery, but battlefield.
Yeah.
Because
I agree with that.
Whether Obama is reelected or defeated,
mm-hmm.
it is the control of the Senate that would really, really turn this country upside down. Because, I'm even saying differently from, you know, there's this thing that happens to us, Juanita, where every time we see something awful, like, say, the Repiglick in Congress of the W years,
mm-hmm.
we say, wow, this is terrible. This is as bad as it could possibly get.
But it wasn't.
But this bunch will be even weirder than that bunch.
Right.
And you won't be able to swing a butterfly net without running into some fetus bill.
Well, they've got another one coming up about something about that.
Oh, yeah. That was due to be voted on today, I think. Susan B. Anthony and Frederick Douglass Non-Discrimination Act. That still makes my head feel like it's going to explode.
I know, and they had, like, you know, Congressman Micah from down here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the one with the worst toupee of anybody.
Yeah, he just takes that thing off at the end of the day and hangs it on the bedpost.
And he was like, he was, you know, he was kind of proud of that bill being passed. He said it wasn't all we wanted, but it's a good one, you know. And he got up there and absolutely lied about, well, one thing, one person called in and they had called in before and asked him if he had signed that, no tax at any cost, you know.
Oh, the Grover North, the pledge.
Yeah. And he said no. And that guy said, I'm calling you back and said that you did vote for it. He said, you know, I'm sorry about that. I just wasn't thinking about that guy. He said, yeah, no, I don't want any taxes. Yeah, I voted for it. Well, then he turns around, you know, and talks about the rail and, you know, that our beloved leader down here, the
unindicted co-conspirator, Rick Scott.
Anyway, he sent, you know, the money back. And we even had people go to the you know, for our rail, and they even took it to the Supreme Court, and of course they found for him, and he sent the money back. Well, then he said he made a mistake, but this is what this guy said today, Micah. He's trying to start something else, and some woman called in and she said, "You can keep your choo-choo train." We want our high-speed rail. And, he thought that was funny, you know. But he lied and said that that money was spent for something else. It wasn't spent down here. It was sent for some other state to get it. And he lied.
Sure he did.
I shouldn't be surprised.
You really shouldn't, but I guess it's natural that you... Well, you're a fundamentally decent human being, Juanita. And when somebody just stands there and lies, and you know they're lying, and they know they're lying, and everybody knows they're lying, it's a little shocking.
And he was like, you know, everything was funny to him. But they had another guy on there. He's Mexican American, from Texas, and they were talking about. Union, and some guy said, called in, well, we have to have a union, man. Would they just send in money to the Democrats? And anyway, he said that his daddy used to ask his daddy about unions. And he said, well, if his daddy said, well, if I work somewhere where there's a union, he said, they may have worked me like a dog, but they'll treat me like a man. And I thought that was really neat.
Nicely said, yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, I just wanted to call and what you thought about that new jobs bill. It's supposed to cut down on the getting unions.
Naturally.
Everything is after us. You know, they're setting us up. All these ding-dong governors, like that woman in Arizona, and then we got down here. Of course, we're already right to work state. We've been there years. But and I agree with that they should change the name of that.
But they've never.
Like a good thing.
Well, sure it does. Just like fish scam sounds like there's really something. Somebody's trying to pull the wool over your eyes.
Yeah.
About all that mercury in the fish that's really there. But no, that's just, it's just another AstroTurf outfit.
Yeah,
yeah.
It is. But they really, I don't know, like to know what, if somebody knows more about it, that thing they passed. And, of course, it's supposed to go to the president, and God help us. I don't know, Bob.
I can't really find it on the fly, but I bet you somebody will update us both.
But, you know, one thing we can count on, if we do get a Republican president and Republicans completely take over, completely. That is to say, they're pretty much in control now.
Yeah.
We can count on another war, a war with Iran. We can count on taking all kind of liberties that we didn't even realize we had away from us. We can count on it.
Yeah, because they'll take existing law and really, really stretch it to its breaking point, and we'll all look back and say, oh, damn, what a pity we'd, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to let you go because I just wanted to have a little say-so about it.
Well, I understand completely, and I'm glad you did.
And it really upset me last night, and I thought, well, no need in worrying about it.
Well, but there is.
Oh,
and
I got to tell you one more thing.
Yes, indeed.
My son, this is our governor. My son, his paycheck this time, they took out $300 on him because they said he owed $300 to the Florida, state of Florida. And, you know, I don't know if I might have that much taken out of mine, too. I don't know. Mine would be way down in the bottom because I get a little over half of what he gets.
Right.
But anyway, I just want to let you know that the monsters are alive and well.
Here be monsters, Juanita.
Yeah.
Indeed. You have yourself a lovely evening.
You too, and take care.
I'm going to. Take care. Bye now.
Night.
Juanita calling from Central Florida and onward. Hey, welcome to the program.
Woof. How are you doing, sir?
I'm well, I think, Jim.
Now, who is this guy that has a hairpiece that looks like something out of J. Edgar Hoover's AstroTurf lawn?
John Micah was who Juanita was talking about.
Oh, my Lord. Even William Shatner would be ashamed of that piece.
Then again, I'm also convinced that, you remember Eddie Long that got crowned as a king last week? I rewatched that video, and I mean, you want to talk about a bad rug. I mean, that thing fly like a frisbee.
You know, Bob, if you're going to have one, at least spend some money and get a good one, or go to Hollywood and see what they do with their people. They do good work, and then, you know, if not, wear a hat. But enough of
that. Or, you know, deal with the genetic card that you were dealt, and just, there you go.
Absolutely. As far as I'm concerned, as far as what they should wear on their heads in the Republican Congress should be a big cone, like cone heads.
Yeah, a dunce cap. Yeah.
Exactly, a dunce cap. And I'm not going to be long here tonight, but, you know, I did hear on Bill Moyer Sunday night, and I wanted to mention this last night, about his interview with one of the journalist, and I can't remember her name. I would say Andrea Mitchell, but I'm not sure if that's sure. Maybe someone can help me with that. But they asked him about his definition of compromise. And Boner said, I don't compromise.
Oh, yeah.
If I compromise, I'm selling people out. We have common ground. Or I tread upon common ground. Now what?
Oh, that, you know, that came from that, that 60 Minutes interview that, Diane, was it Diane Sawyer? No. Not Andrea Mitchell. Well, but anyway, I remember
who it was, but I thought to myself, you know, I said, you know, look at this, you asshole. This country was based on compromise. And yet you are discounting one of the most important words in our governmental vocabulary. Common ground.
But see, that is far too complicated a concept for the average right winger or teabagger to wrap their teensy tiny itsy bitty bitsy sloshy little minds around, Jim. That just meant, I mean, he wasn't lying if the headline says John Boner compromises with Obama administration, then all the teabaggers get mad. Because they can't understand that deal-making is a matter of you give some, I give some. But sadly, our president understands it all too well.
Yeah, I guess he does.
And consequently, you wind up with the things that we have, the extension of the Bush tax cuts, that kind of thing.
It is beyond my scope of recognition. But when a man who is Speaker of the House refuses to acknowledge the principle of compromise, one of the pillars of our own government in the Constitution, I mean, history of our Constitution and constitutional law as reflects upon governmental action is based upon that word. And he refuses to acknowledge it as a part of his vocabulary.
Yeah, getting a couple of emails in. Thank you, Randy and Darlene. Yeah, it was Leslie Stahl.
Leslie Stahl, that's right. And you know, and this guy just sits there. And you know what? I believe him.
Me too.
I mean, I don't discount anything this fool says. I mean, you can believe what these people say, and you can take it to the bank, because that's exactly what they mean to do. I mean, a lot of people say, well, you know, he's going to back down from that. He was just posturing on this program and for his power base or whatever you want to call it, these idiots. And, no, he means it. And they mean it, and they mean...
And beyond they mean it, Jim, they mean to... Left to their own devices, the right wing would like to tear this government into a million tiny pieces. I don't know if you heard Brad Friedman and Desi Doyen on the Green News Report, but this business of Ron Paul saying that he doesn't believe in the government being able to own land?
I heard that, yeah.
Well, that was deliberately and openly contemplated in the drafting not of amendments to the Constitution, but the body of the Constitution itself.
All articles included, yes, indeed.
And that just goes to show you that these teabaggers, these hard right-wing libertarian types, these Austrian School of Economics types, these people who follow the dead and putrefying hands of Ayn Rand and Milton Friedman, they don't want this country. They want this country to be torn asunder and reshaped in some monstrous golem image of their own making. And God help us all if they succeed.
I just can't imagine what type of image they really are creating in their own twisted mind. I really cannot.
Well, on the part of the moneyed elite of that side, you know, the real puppet masters, they're creating they seek to create a no holds barred, pure predatory capitalistic society where the entirety of all government efforts are directed to their benefit. Now, for the rubes, you're going to be free as long as you're a law-abiding citizen to pull yourself up by your own bootstraps and become a millionaire just like us. And then there's the religious element of the right wing that, just as plainly as Boner talking about what he intends, they speak as plainly too, Jim, and their desire is to set up an Iranian-style theocracy based on the Old Testament. You know, it was not a joke when that Christian Reconstructionist leader was asked what he would, how he would manage crime in this country, and he said, "We'd bring back stoning because there's a lot of rocks." They're not kidding.
Oh, I believe you. Oh, I believe you said it. You know, initially, I had my doubts about some of the things these people were saying, and I hoped that it was just posturing. And now I begin to realize they mean what they say, and they say what they mean, and they'll do what they claim. And it's absolutely horrendous. It really is. And as far as their own message is concerned, the only thing I can think of is what George said to Martha and Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf. They are truly devils with language, are they not?
And they are. That long list of Richard Berman's AstroTurf groups, labor pains because being in a union can be painful. DC union teachers exposed. PETA kills animals.com. Rotten acorn. Union facts. Sunlight scam. Can you imagine an AstroTurf group trying to convince people that sunburn and skin cancer aren't real?
No, but I wish that Mr. Boner, or whatever you want to call him, as long as he's been endorsed by the tanning bed people, would get in one and stay in that thing for about 24 hours.
Set it on high.
Exactly. You know,
all bulbs really. On stun.
You know, hey, they ought to have a commercial with him in one.
Well, they not the tanning bed industry not only gave him $5,000 for his upcoming campaign, but they also gave $5,000 to the Boner for Speaker campaign. Because he's got, assuming the House remains in the hands of the Republicans, he has to rerun for Speaker, and there is a bit of discord in the House.
What do you mean by that? I'm sorry.
Well, I mean that there are some, you know, like that grasping, nasty little climber, Eric Cantor, who would like to replace John Boner.
Oh, Lord, he'd be even worse than Boner. I mean, I don't know where in the world his mind is, or, well, I can tell you where his head is, but I'm not going to say it on this program because it would offend too many people, because I've said that before, and I'm sorry for having said it, but nonetheless, you know where his head is.
It's in his fundament, yes. I mean, remember, this is a guy who couldn't be bothered to attend the business of the House of Representatives because he was busy attending a fundraiser at a Britney Spears concert in Washington, D.C. He is the House's answer to leave Britney alone.
Oh, my Lord. I don't know what to say, Bob. To tell you the truth, he's just incredible.
Sometimes it's beyond words. Sometimes it's straight to the tequila bottle for me, and I understand.
Yeah, me too. And I just wanted to add that thing about what Boner said about no compromise, common ground. And I can just imagine the only common ground these people envision is their own turf, and there is no turf for anybody else but what they envision.
Yeah, they'll share that common ground with us, Jim, as long as we're face down on it with their boot on our neck.
Well, you know, their common ground is simply a landscape of total ruin, total destruction.
Yeah.
And, you know, I listened to the report tonight by Desi Doyen as far as the climate change in Northern Europe is concerned and the weather there. And, you know, that
it's been awful.
I just wonder, is something happening to the salinity of the Labrador Current? The less saline the Labrador Current is, the less ability is it to carry warmth, which will bathe the shores of like Great Britain and Northern Europe.
Right.
And you know, give it that type of West Coast marine climate. Is that what's happening? I just wonder what the salinity of the Labrador Current is, or the Gulf Stream, not the Labrador Current, but the Gulf Stream, which bypasses the Labrador Current, and someone please correct me if I'm wrong, but that's what enables the western part of Europe not to be like Siberia.
Yeah, right. It loops around Ireland and Great Britain, and yes.
Yes, West Coast Marine, exactly. And it's just totally, this is totally bizarre. And it's basically what Al Gore has said a long time ago.
But have you noticed there's just not a heck of a lot of coverage of that anywhere in the 1% for-profit media in the United States?
Oh, no, it's not popular because it's against the people who pay their salaries. You know it, and I know it. And if they start saying stuff like this, they're going to begin to disappear and lose their jobs and for telling the truth. And that's exactly what it is. It's the paid-for corporate media are slaves to their corporate masters. And yet, the truth cannot be spoken, and I just don't see a very pleasant end to this as we go through the year 2012.
Well, you know, it's one of the failings of autocracy that they tend to have a taste for a certain orthodoxy. And I don't mean religiously speaking. I mean,
what you're saying.
They don't want, they if they're getting filthy rich doing A, they don't want to consider B. And we can see it on micro scales here in West Virginia, Jim. You can see it in the response of our latest dim bulb governor. I don't know if you followed the business about that 1% tax that would create a trust fund for the future for transitioning to an alternative to economic alternatives. And he said, we ain't no way we're going to do that. We got coal. And so you can you can see it there. You know, meanwhile, Patriot and Alpha and these other thugs have started laying off literally hundreds of coal workers in this state.
Uh-huh.
And it's not because anything us tree huggers did. It's because the market is not good. And so guess what's happening? Those hundreds of workers are being left to flap in the breeze. And they are they use words like restructuring.
Oh, it's amazing! Like I said, they're devils with language, aren't they?
Yeah, when the actual word is, you know, it's the same as it ever was. It's no different than 1920 or 1890 or 1950 or any other time the coal industry's gone bust. The people who have paid for it are the people who have poured their sweat and blood into it, while the people who got all the money out of it go swanning away to do whatever those people do.
Well, like I told you last night in my email, the history of West Virginia is punctuated with the facts that these people come and
plunder us,
and they take, and they leave, and they don't care what the hell they leave behind. If what they leave behind is simply a trail of ruin.
And yet, you know, here's 400 or 500 families that are looking at no payday, that are looking and you know. Even though the facts, and this is troubling, even though the facts are that the environmentalists didn't do diddly to them, guess who they're going to be encouraged to blame for this? Not the profiteering bastards in the coal industry, but the people who, well, you know. And so you see it there. You know, you see it in the grand scheme of organizations like the American Petroleum Institute that have literally poured millions of dollars into the attempts to deny the reality of what is happening to the climate of this planet. And like I said, it's from microcosm to macrocosm, and it's a result of all of that that we will not do the things that we urgently need to do.
Well, you know, the truth has simply become the victim of the highest bidder, and these people have so much money, they can propagate their own big lies and destroy the truth. And the terrible thing about it is, if it was their own self-destruction, that'd be okay as far as I'm concerned. But it's so many innocent people and families and people who have hopes and dreams, the people who are human beings, who are just as much worth in the sight of God as these people who have all this money.
Right. I mean, consider that. What's the Indian Ocean island chain that is literally being covered up by the rising waters brought about by the melting of the polar ice cap? You know, that multi-millionaire freak Flush Flimbaugh. My friends, there's no such thing as global warming. It's summer. That's why the ice cap's melting. It'll refreeze in the winter. You know, you'd like to set his broadcast rig on that little island and let the water start coming up around his ankles. Yet keep saying that.
Is it in the Seychelles or someplace like that?
Is it the Maldives?
I'm not sure. I've seen a documentary on PBS and other programs.
You know, they used to be a couple of feet above sea level. Now they're 6 inches above sea level.
Exactly. And these people are going to have to evacuate or drown.
Yeah. And if you fire up Google Earth, Jim, you can wander around and you can see, for instance, out in the Atlantic, you can see places that used to be islands, but they're all underwater now.
Yeah, they're gone. They're gone, and yet these people are the ones who made fun of Al Gore and all of the things that he said that made a lot of sense and tried to make a fool out of him, but yet what he's saying has come to pass. And I don't know what it's going to take to make these people realize what they've done, but by the time they do realize it...
Well, it may... I hate to say it, it may already be too late. At this point, we may be in a crisis management mode more than a retreat from the precipice mode. By the way, News Ninja Susan did some quick research, and she said the Labrador Current at one point actually joins with the Gulf Stream. So if you screw the two of those up, yeah. And our buddy Andy out in California says, Jim's got it right. The Gulf Stream was predicted to shift, causing an ice age in Europe. It was predicted, and it's panning out. Negative 40 degrees Fahrenheit in and around Prague, Czech Republic. Unheard of. Arctic Siberian temperatures causing mass death due to the severe cold.
Well, Bob, listen, it's real simple. The more water you have pouring off these glaciers that are melting, the less solidity there is in the Gulf Stream.
Right. Yeah.
And the less ability that particular flow of water has to carry warmth and enable Europe and Great Britain to have a sort of West Coast marine climate. And that's it. And they refuse to pay attention to scientists, meteorologists, seismologists, and other people, men of science. And I guess it's just like, the only thing I can compare it to is what the Nazis and Stalin talked about Einsteinian physics. They called it Jewish physics.
Jesus.
That's what they did. You see where it got them? Well, boy, I tell you one thing, the Soviets sure took a different thing about it. And as a matter of fact, you could even mention the name Einstein in Stalin's Russia because he was a Jew. But nonetheless, truly, prophets are without honor
in their own land. Yeah, and you were talking about getting John Boehner to climb in one of his own tanning beds. Get this. I hadn't heard this before. This is one of those beautiful little moments that we have here on the Horn. Robert just wrote in from Australia, and he said tanning beds will be banned in New South Wales as of December 31st, 2014. Sure, they look cool and futuristic, but here's a startling fact, and I didn't know this. Tanning beds are categorized as a grade 1 carcinogen by the International Agency for Research in Cancer, arguing that Australia has enough skin cancer problems as it is. New South Wales is the first state in Australia to ban the tanning beds as of December 31st, 2014, and they are not the first, but the second place in the world to ban them. Brazil, and again, that makes sense too, Brazil banned them first.
Oh my God, are these people, I've heard of melanoma and squamous cell carcinoma that is a derivative of melanoma?
Aw, oh, Jesus, they're Republicans, Jim. They think melanoma's a lounge singer, okay? I know.
I just don't understand it, because these tanning beds and things like that, and, for the past two decades, people have been warned about overexposure to the sun, and if they don't have sun on a cloudy day, they're going to get in a tanning bed, and for a few days of...
Well, and then, yeah, right, and then there's the ultimate irony of these white people, you know, a bunch of Republicans defending their tanning beds, white people who are inherently racists anyway, trying to get darker.
It's true. Well, listen, if they have any sense, they do sell something called spray tan.
Oh, well, but, you know, you're going to pay a fortune in order for that. I mean, if you get streaks, you're just done.
Well, yeah, but like I said, I think Boehner should get in one of those things for at least 48 hours and get baked real good. Let me get off.
Turn him over. He's done. Turn him over. He's done.
Exactly. I mean, but Lord have mercy. I just don't understand the mentality of these people.
And well, that's because you're trying to apply intellectual prowess to unintellectual morbidity.
Well, it's just like trying to compute the value of pi to make it come out even. That's it. A transcendental figure without resolution.
Yeah, but you know the Republicans can always round. And being cheap bastards, they round down, not up. Jim, have a good evening.
Thank you, sir.
Bye now. I had no idea that tanning beds were a grade 1 carcinogen. Hey, welcome to the program.
Bob.
Sandra.
Hey, Hey, listen, so I was just thinking about the Super Bowl. I just wanted to bring this up because it was doing my head in when I was watching it. You know, I'm just watching it, la, la, la. I'm thinking, yeah, okay, whatever. And then, you know, I don't know who was doing the color, that horrible Al Michaels, and who was the other guy?
Was that Costas?
I think it was Chris Collinsworth.
Oh, yeah, Chris Collinsworth, right.
Anyway, they were just, I mean, it was just the storyline. So you know the whole, I have to set it up, you know the whole discussion that Malcolm X had about the house Negro versus the field Negro?
Oh, yes, 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 yes.
And he says, you know, we sick, and, you know, that whole business, right? So you know what I'm talking about. Okay, well, those two were talking about the Kraft family and how, I guess, the woman, the wife died recently, right?
Right, that's why they were wearing her initials, and she was such a philanthropist.
Right, they showed this one big black guy out there. I don't know what position he was in, but talking about how, oh, he really wanted to get that for her. And I was, the first thing that came to my mind was like, oh, God, it's a, you know, we sick moment. It was, no, it was just, I was cringing listening to the whole conversation, you know, it's just sort of filler conversation between downs, I guess, but oh God, it's just really, it was gross, it was gruesome, because then you have to see Rush Limbaugh picking his nose, you know what I'm saying? So it was just like the 1% overseeing and the happy Negroes down below, you know, I don't know, that just sort of stuck with me. And
well, did you see the Pepsi commercial? Did you see the Pepsi commercial?
No, I avoided most of the commercials.
Yeah,
they were really flat to me, the commercials.
Well, they were, but just because I watch with such a jaundiced eye, I was sitting there when Elton John fell through the floor in his princely robes or whatever, and we find out that he keeps Flava Flav chained in a dungeon.
Oh no! I'm kind of glad I missed that. Yeah.
You know, hello, imagery. Anybody? Continuities? Nobody noticed this.
And you supposed to found that amusing or something?
Yeah, because he's been apparently sending people through the trap door for not singing well enough, and no Pepsi for you. And
no,
then
I understand, but
yeah, but he goes through, and there's Flava Flav in the dungeon, chained up, going, yeah, boy.
Oh, no, and they don't have enough sense to realize that it might be a bit problematic beyond them just making a joke?
Well, maybe it wasn't, because I haven't seen any. I guess I'm the only one, you know.
Well, no, I mean, because then you think about him at that singing at Rush Limbaugh's wedding, you know.
Right, and that's the next place I went. Elton, anything for a buck, John.
Oh, wait, anyway, no, I'm so glad I missed that, because I was sort of, the commercials were, it was lame, and, you know, the Hoola Plus was creepy with the brains in the bottle. I'm like, what is this? So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I heard the show yesterday, and, you know, unlike everybody else, I thoroughly enjoyed the Madonna. I thought it was hella funny because she was dropping it like it's hot, and I'm like, damn, I can do that at 53.
Yeah, right. It served as an inspiration to American womanhood, right?
You know, in that regard, I thought, shit. And, you know, M.I.A., she didn't disappoint. God bless her. She don't give a F, okay? Don't care. So that was funny to me. I don't care. It's like, these people get so upset about stuff like that in this country, and we just slaughter hundreds of thousands everywhere. I never can get that reconciled in my mind. It's like, how are you worried about somebody being flipped off the way this country operates? And the whole layout of the show was, you know, more Empire or Metropolis. I couldn't figure out which one.
Well, six of one and a half dozen of another. It was, but you know, mercifully, it was a good game. And
yeah.
But I did love, you know, 1% Giselle Bundchen after. Well, Tom can't throw the ball and catch the effing ball.
Well, no, and her, didn't she? Were you guys talking about it? Was she sent some email asking people to pray? I'm like,
yeah, I don't think I mentioned it. But yeah, that was the big thing before that. She sent this chain email around, pray for my Tom that he can have a pleasant, happy mind when he goes out and win this game. Oh, Jesus.
Oh, no. Well, you know, of course, I had to revert to the Giants because, I mean, I never, like, I only cheered for the Patriots because it was Tim Tebow. But, you know, I was sort of done with the Patriots anyway, but then that whole Kraft and his association with, you know, the right, his friendship with that right-wing pig, I mean, that was enough for me. So I'm not really,
I was laughing.
Was there really a moment of Rush Limbaugh picking his nose?
Yeah, you could see him in a booth. I mean, I'm sure it's online.
Beautiful,
somewhere.
Beautiful.
Yeah,
no. Go for the second knuckle, Rush.
No, it's just, it's just sort of hideous. But yeah, anyway, I don't know. I mean, it really isn't anything substantial I was talking about. It's just that I just, because you look at that whole setup, it's such a good exercise in the class structure in this country, the whole football thing, because I saw this amazing chart of, they showed all the private jets flying from New York to Indianapolis, and it was just like, all the private stuff from New York and from everywhere, all descending upon that stadium, and I mean the whole setup, because everyone who's playing is working class. I know they get paid a lot, but the short time of their careers are short and sweet, and they pay a huge price to play that game, and then you have the corporations and the one percenters grab assing up in their boxes. It's all kind of nauseating, really.
Yeah, let's not kid ourselves. There, with the exception of the ownership of the Green Bay Packers, there aren't many good owners. I mean, the Rooneys have been...
Yeah, reasonable. Yeah, no, that'd be about the only ownership outside of the Green Bay thing. But the rest of it is just, really has such a rather disgusting structure about it,
And by the way, it's about to get really, really worse, because we have details here from David in Tennessee, Sandra, identifying the individual who wanted to win it for Miss Myra.
Oh, please, yes.
Okay, that was Vince Two Burgers Short of 400 Pounds Wilfork that wanted the game, that wanted to win the game for Mama Kraft.
But wait.
Remember last night when you wrote me after I announced the Susan B. Anthony and Frederick Douglass Non-Discrimination Act, and you went, no!
It's that again. Okay, I'm sitting down.
It's part of Vince Wilfork's pregame good luck ritual to go and kiss Mr. Kraft on both cheeks. One for Massa Kraft and one on the other cheek for Ms. Kraft's memory.
No. I refuse to believe it. It cannot. So I was well on my way to We Sick.
You were well on your way. You passed the exit ramp.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, David continues. He says, ew, believe it or not, that made it to air. They told the story on air.
Well, I guess I sort of, because I have a, of course we all have a self-preservation protection mechanism. I must have went to that place because I missed the kissing of the cheek ring. Real massa. Wow. That was, I guess Malcolm X could have been looking at that story right there and say,
if there's some sort of afterlife out there, Malcolm was watching you. Hey, Marty, come here. Look at this. Oh, no.
Oh, my God.
Because, that'll take the nonviolence right out of you. It's Jesus God, and of course we had a little bit of thank Jesus for this victory kind of thing, and Tim Tebow giving the interview there to David Faraday about how maybe he wants to be president someday. It was a tough night. It was a tough night.
Well, I just I can't. Oh God, there's something. Well, okay, I'm really glad that they lost. That's
I've never been so anxious for pitchers and catchers report in my life. But because maybe we'll get a little break with baseball or something. Then again, what can they interview Tim Tebow about baseball on? But they'll find a way.
Oh no. Well, anyway, that's just outrageous. Oh God. Well, I'm sorry, I'm still trying to recover from that. I don't even know. I'm at a loss.
But, well, you wonder if Mr. Kraft rubs him on his head.
Yeah, no, it's just sort of like so gruesome. Did you get the chance to see that parody of the kinging of
Law? I sat there and watched that last night and about wet myself.
And when that girl came out to try to sing. That was it for me. I was off.
Oh, wrapping him up the amino acid in the amino acid protecting Saran wrap, and then dropping him and
I mean, because see, I'm still trying to, you know, because you know, I have to say, because I don't go to church, I don't participate at all in the church at all anymore. All my memories are from when I was growing up. So to see that whole spectacle of Long and that rabbi fake, I mean, that was just like looking at something on another planet. I was like, are these people really believing this?
Well, you know how bad the backlash has gotten over this?
Oh, please tell me there is a backlash.
Backlash all over the place.
Because that was crazy. It was so beyond. And it's just, and it, you know, I was cringing and thinking, no way.
No, Eddie Long has now publicly apologized.
Because what? He's getting it from who? I mean, where's the backlash coming from?
Well, it came from the Jewish community, among other places.
Well, okay, no, I'm assuming so.
He said, the ceremony was not my suggestion, nor was it my intent to participate in any ritual that is offensive in any manner to the Jewish community or any group.
He's offensive, though, see. That's a loaded word for that freak. And it was just too much because I looked at that and I thought, is this some sort of horrifying joke? And then Isaac sent me a link to a black paper in Florida where they mentioned he's just a known fraud, but he was so-called teaching that homophobe Reggie White. I know he's gone to glory, but I thought, oh, no. You see what I mean?
Well, yeah, and you couple that with the story that David in Tennessee told about how he would catch him on TBN a couple of years ago for entertainment value, and he's showing up on the pulpit wearing a vest over one of those sleeveless Under Armour, you know, shirts, the skin tight affair, and he's got 20-inch biceps, and before he's even said a word, he's sweating like sweating bullets, and not making sense, and chewing the air gum, and just had all the marks of a guy who was way down the roid road. So. Yeah, I mean,
and that hair. What's happening?
Well, that's a rug. I mean, come on.
No, it's just, you know. I mean, it's just. Too
was
hard.
It in the parody video where one of the guys said that hair? He could just throw it up on the bedpost overnight. I mean, that's where I stole that from.
Oh well, no. I mean, the dude in the parody had some sort of. They had effed up wigs, but that wasn't for Long. It was for that. That rabbi with that horrible wig who can't speak any Hebrew, and you think to think that he was so-called teaching Reggie White Hebrew. I'm like, damn, that guy, not only was he a homophobe, but he was completely an idiot. Sorry, I'm not a fan because he was just sort of rabidly homophobic. Reggie White. And it's just
And by the way, add to the list of the kind of revolting homophobes,
yeah.
Roland Martin. You know who Roland Martin is?
Well, yeah, I saw that. I didn't really pay attention to it. No, I don't. Why? What was he?
Well, this CNN commentator who tweeted during the show, you know, they ran that ad with David Beckham wearing his underwear. Okay, big deal. They got to counter the fact that Tim Tebow won't be shown in his somehow, right? And on Twitter, Roland Martin writes, if a dude at your Super Bowl party is hyped about David Beckham's H&M underwear ad, smack the ish out of him. You know, really?
Oh, no. I mean, yeah, that is so, at this point, it's so pedestrian. It's just like, yawn, you know? I don't, you know, oh, God.
And, of course,
I'm more laughing at Karl Lagerfeld. Have you heard about what he's been saying?
No, what? Karl?
Karl Lagerfeld, you know him, the fashion guy from Germany, right?
Right.
Well, he was talking about how he said all the men, are in Russia, he feels sorry for women because all the Russian men are ugly, and Adele is fat, but he also said that he really liked Miss Obama because, I guess, I don't know, did she say this? She said so when she was asked if her skirt was too tight, and she answered, why, you don't like my big black ass. And I'm thinking,
No, she didn't.
Right. I didn't have a chance to look it up, but I will. But I was dying. I thought, oh, no. And so I didn't realize that Karl Lagerfeld was sort of known for the sort of foot in the mouth constantly. But I thought the Adele thing was funny because, you know, while everyone's all in celebration of her, she came out talking about, oh, I want my taxes cut. And I just thought, oh, God. So I moved on from her.
Oh, real? No.
Yes, yes, yes. You know, so I'm just thinking, oh, no.
Jesus, she wants a tax cut.
Right,
oh,
you know.
Please.
So.
Oh, it hurts sometimes.
Well, you know, I mean, you shouldn't be, I mean, yeah, I can't say I'm that surprised. I'm always a bit taken aback. I'm like, oh, God, you know. So you didn't have $4 million before, you had zero, now you have four, and you have to pay 50% on it, you still have two. Shut the fuck up, you know what I mean?
How hard is it to reach that conclusion? Suffer quietly.
Oh, my God. So, yeah, so I'm always sort of looking at her.
And lo and behold, yeah, Isaac's right there. Isaac finds a lot of fun stuff. He was responsible for the original Eddie Long video last week.
Right.
But, no, lo and behold, I've got it in my email now, video of Rush Limbaugh digging his nose at the Super Bowl. And, of course, our buddy Ray wrote in, Sandra said, deeper. At least somebody's picking the jiggling junkie's brain.
Oh, God. No, anyway. Yeah, no, it's just, you know, so, I don't know. Like I said, the game was, at least the game was good, but all the sort of bread and circus around.
Oh, and the hissy being had over Clint Eastwood.
Well, I don't even understand. I mean, ain't he one of them? He a damn Republican. I mean,
gave money to McCain, voted for McCain, ain't sure who he's going to vote for in 2012.
Right, I mean, he's a Republican, and, I mean, the Republicans' message is so negative. The Republicans are so negative that they're letting the Democrats co-opt Morning in America in the face of Obama. Yeah, they're about right. Their heads must be exploding.
Well, and David had gone to watch the Super Bowl with his son.
Mm.
And he said, with regard to the Vince kissing Mars Craft, he said it was not only, he said, by the way, it was described in full detail with video, with footage. About 30 minutes before kickoff, there it was. Vince pecking Mr. Craft on the cheeks. He said, my son and I were slack-jawed. We couldn't speak for a few seconds.
Oh, I'm grateful that I didn't have to have a visual of it, because just hearing the snippet that I heard while I was sitting there watching the game when they were doing their color commentary, and then now you're telling me that extra, and now this video of this dude doing that, I'm like, damn shit.
Yeah, but you know, here in a minute, I'm going to get another email from Isaac with the video, and you know after the show you're going to watch it. It's like a train wreck, Sandra. You won't be able to help it.
I know, but I'm going to have to pull up the Malcolm X speech when he's talking about We Sick Too to kind of counter that.
Oh, man, if somebody could do that counterpointed with the Malcolm X, if there's audio, and make them into one video... Oh, wouldn't that make... yeah, that'd do something.
Right. Well, and you know, I'm thinking, oh, dear God, it's 2012. We got the help. Now we got this football fool. You know, when is it going to stop?
And don't forget the Susan B. Anthony and Frederick Douglass Non-Discrimination Act, which I guess was what, voted on today? I haven't seen the follow-up.
Oh, I could. You know, the thing is like, I can't understand, you know, why the right wing, they got a right hard-on about Frederick Douglass. And it's just like, go reread this shit. Frederick Douglass would just step on your damn head. You know, I mean, it's just like nothing remotely involved with Frederick Douglass that would have anything to do with the right wing as it's constituted now. It's just like, and same with the Saul Alinsky. It's like, what is that all about? I mean, Newt Gingrich don't even know what the hell he's talking about.
Oh, but that's an activist court there, that Ninth Circuit in California. No matter how many right wingers were appointed during George W. Bush's term.
Well, no, but see, that's funny about Newt Gingrich, because not only did he not like it, but, you know, if he was in a position, he might have to round up the Ninth Circuit and hang them. You know, the way he talks about
Well, yeah, they said he'd demand that they be brought before him to the White House. Yeah, brought into the presence?
I have no idea. Oh, listen, I'll let you go, because I have to help them with their bar graphs and other third grade type math, which is doing my head in.
I know.
Anyway,
I remember third grade. You know, what are they teaching you?
Oh, God. You know, I already had to sort of, you know, I told you about their sort of right-wing teacher. I'm already rolling my head because they're talking about, you know, Rosa Parks is tired. I'm like, I know you're in a third grade, but Rosa Parks was not fucking tired. I actually think I said that to my nieces. I was like, give me
Mom, Auntie Sandra said it again.
Exactly. Oh, anyway, so what I wanted to ask you was, did you see that you know, at the moment I'm just sort of freaking out about Facebook, and did you see that? Poor dude.
In Indonesia, you don't have to believe in anything, but you do have to register as a member of one of the five official state religions, and this poor guy puts on Facebook that he doesn't believe in God, and now he's facing 5 years in prison.
Yeah, and the thing is that now, of course, don't get me wrong, I'm not, you know, Indonesia, that's Indonesian law. But the sort of, you know, cavalier nature that people have sort of embraced Facebook is really starting to be disturbing, because to me, Facebook is what the Stasi only dreamed of exponentially.
Believe me, I know that. Like you said, your nieces are third graders. They're not Facebooking yet.
Oh, hell no.
I know that to a degree of intimate detail that doesn't even bear discussion, Sandra. Just simple things like, you know, you don't want to put every element of your life on your stinking Facebook or tweet about it.
Well, and not only that, when you think about Facebook, though, when I found out that they tell you can delete pictures, but oh, lo and behold, the permanent link is still around
for years.
And these people aren't aware of that. And so now these pictures are popping up in investigations and police actions in lawsuits. And it's just like, you know, we're looking at a system that's sort of mediating conversation and interaction, except the mediator is Facebook, and they're able to mine and take your shit and do what they want with it. You know, and I think that people got to come to terms with it. I think it's useful, but the fact that you have to have this gatekeeper that's able to do whatever the hell they want with the information, and I don't think people appreciate the implications of that. And I do like the comparison of it to the Stasi, and it's just like, ew.
Yeah, because I mean, it's not more than anything else. It's basically the self-incrimination homepage, isn't it?
Just think, when you talk to somebody and they give you something back, I mean, it can easily be looked upon as you're informing on them, you know, in some capacity. And, you know, this asshole who's running it is comparing it to the
printing press. That that still hurts my head.
That's too much for me. You know, I'm like, no, dude, you know, your shit is weird for, you know, what they want to do, because they're not talking about community. They're talking about how they can get data and sell it to third parties to make money.
Yeah, so, see, I'll get a request probably 10 times a day for somebody to give them a rutabaga in Farmville. Well, I won't play Farmville, and I won't play Mafia Wars, and I won't play Castle Defender or any of those other things, because unlike apparently the rest of the world, Sandra, when you get to that part where it says this application wishes to take control of and understand, know everything inside your account, do you agree? I go, oh, no, thanks.
Well, no, but see, I mean, you know, I just heard what you just said, except I didn't, because I'm still thinking about somebody asking you for
for some fucking vegetable in their virtue. You know, come on now. That's, see, that's way up north, and that would be a no. Okay?
Right, but you know, then you know, another day it'll be Fred has asked, Fred wants you to loan him a Thompson submachine gun in Mafia Wars. Stop!
Well, and no, I don't want to, you know, of course, I'm not saying I'm a Luddite, because you know that I'm not. But I am a bit skeptical of this sort of, you know, free love of the horizontal world. You know, I'm like, give me a damn break, dude.
Well, and I mean, there's another element of it out there, primarily via the Apple App Store, but it's happening on other platforms too. You know, it used to be that, and I was thinking about this earlier when I saw this press release about how the app economy has created 5 million jobs, huh? Maybe $5 million. But anyway, you know, you go to the App Store and, you know, whether it's Android or Apple or whatever, and you spend 99 cents and you get this thing that does something on your phone. Well, it used to be that if you wanted to play a game, you wanted to shoot aliens or fly a helicopter or whatever, you went and you paid 99 cents and you played the little game on your phone or your tablet or what have you. But now there's a new development called freemium, freemium games. So you no longer have to pay the 99 cents to buy the game. The game, you know, they're basically working off the heroin dealer outside the schoolyard gate model. You know, hey kid, the first one's free.
Yeah.
And so, no, hey mom, no, can I have this? Well, how much does it cost? It's free, mom. Well, okay, if it's free. And so Junior downloads it, and a little bit later, he's sitting there, mom, I need $10 for an iTunes card. Mom, or you know, whoever, Amazon, whatever, marketplace. Because you can play in the game, but if you really want to be a super good Jedi trainee or what have you, you got to spend more money. And you can, and kids, I mean, I've seen stories of little girls running up $900 credit card bills, you know, buying the new dress or and not even a real dress, Sandra.
Wait. Okay. No, we're just still talking about the not real virtual world that takes real money.
Yes.
Conundrum.
Yes.
Yeah, listen. Wow. No. And I have my two external drives stacked up for real. I'm not into this cloud shit either. I know I just sound like a nightmare, but I'm sorry. The more information I get about the wonderful world of social media and cloud computing and Zynga this and Bit this and, you know, all this other sort of, you know, the farm, all that, it's just because pretty soon they're going to have us all just plugged in with, you know, playing their virtual games and their virtual economy, and you don't ever have to leave your house.
Yeah, and eventually, you know, you get the little, what is it going to be, USB 15 port in the side of your neck? And
that's right. Yeah, we're right there, right. You know, I mean, and it's just, I don't know. I just really cannot get, in fact, I've been seeing more and more stories about people, you know, away from their computer, and all of a sudden they realize, oh, I mean, it's kind of a joke, but, you know, it's...
Well, no, I had my own little wake-up moment. I recently made a kind of a commitment to myself to start, because I used to love journaling and making little notes to myself and stuff like that. And I made a commitment to go back to that because I caught myself one day with a pen in my hand and I was writing more than just somebody's phone number or their email address. And I got a couple of sentences in and some sort of my inner pissant said, my hand hurts. I am tired of writing.
Right. Oh, yeah. Oh, no. Those skills, yeah, that's the thing.
So
yeah.
I got the pen back and I got got me a little notebook and I'm gonna start writing crap down.
Yeah. No, I mean the girls were working on their cursive and I thought I'd try some and it was like, oh, shit.
Well, yeah, my first couple of pages look like I'm just now learning to write.
I mean, there's a lot. I keep wanting to hang up, but there's another thing I wanted to mention to you, if you got to it. Do you happen to read that little post that I sent you, the green benches, about workers' paychecks and what happens to it in England?
Yeah, I did. Yesterday?
Yeah, you know, and it was just all about how the working poor, you know, is just where all their money went and how it's all electronically divvied up. And it's just, I don't know, that just really sort of did my head in. I thought, oh, God.
Well, the lead on it, regardless of the rest, and it is, it's a very short little piece, but it grabbed me by the eyeballs. 10 million workers never see their monthly wages because they're paid out within 24 hours of being received.
Right.
Just gone.
And it was just kind of, you know, they laid out real quickly, succinctly, you know, every living expenses.
Right, and everybody, and you know, if you've got a cell phone or whatever, whoever you're with, would you like us to draw out your payment automatically every month?
Yeah.
And every time I see that, no, I would not.
Well, see, and that just goes back to, you know, we can tie that back into this kind of connected to the, you know, internet and how it's going to be able to manage all levels, you know? When you think about it, I mean, you know, it's just, I don't know, I just, that kind of creeped me out too because you can, you know, the phone can be used to, and at least in England, I'm sure you can do it here, but I don't see it as much. When I was over in England, you know, I was startled because my friend Linda was looking at me because she was paying for parking via her cell phone. And everything is paid for through your cell phone in London now. And it's just like, I was like...
Well, that article referenced the fact that they've got payday lending in the UK. I had no idea.
Oh, no. Listen, payday lending is in the U.S. and it's in England, you know. Yeah, it's hard. It's horrifying. Yep.
Yeah, because here, again, it's the electronic or virtual or cyber equivalent of being turned upside down, held by your ankles, and shaken until the last couple of nickels fall out.
Right. And so I don't know. I just thought, oh God. So, you know, even if you're dirt poor, they can sort of have you plugged into the grid and extract what little money you have. You know, because I like how all the creditors get they shit, like, what, in 6 minutes? Or whatever that thing was saying, right away.
Yeah. Jesus.
And finally, I don't know if you had a look at this, but, you know, I'm still well disturbed by the police surveillance / Wall Street surveillance center in New York. Did you catch all that?
Oh yeah, that just gave me the...
And the pictures, I know you can't really see them unless you pay, but you can kind of see how it had signs of Goldman Sachs and, you know, with the police symbol around and then Goldman Sachs on the plaques.
Yeah, I mean, okay, cheap movie reference. This is straight out of Rollerball, you know?
Yeah, I was just like, you know, where the hell? Anyway, I just, that also really disturbed me to no end because it's always what we kind of have imagined, at least here on the Horn, this kind of just the connection between finance capital and, you know, the real state. I mean, it's upon us big time.
Yeah, I mean, well, isn't this just the extension of what's already all over London and the rest of the U.K.?
Just cameras in the UK.
Yeah.
But this is, you know.
But this is New York City.
Right. And the whole, they kept repeating in the article about, oh, yeah, they can just sort of follow you all the way up to the steps of fill in the blank, you know? Your psychiatrist or your banker, I mean, or your accountant or your
hooker,
you know, doctor, or your hooker or whatever. And it's just like, you know, you're sort of backing up slowly thinking, well, when is the TV going to put in the house that's talking to me? When's that happening, you know?
When do we go full on Ray Bradbury?
Yeah. Anyway, I know I was sort of a bit all over the place this evening.
No, that's okay. Just getting to work through the Vince Wilfork story was just the beginning.
Oh God. Okay. Well, thanks for all that extra on that because I will be looking for that.
Yeah. Because you're so glad for the, nightmares. I know.
Exactly. Okay. Have a good evening.
Take care, Sandra.
Bye.
Bye now. Oh, I know. Somebody's going to send me the video of Vince Wilfork smooching on Mr. Oh, dear. Let's go to the phones. Hey, welcome to the program.
Good afternoon again, Bob.
Well, hey, Kevin, how are you?
Oh, very well. Man, you brought back some memories tonight.
What have I done now?
I don't know if you just got my email, but while I was on hold, you all were talking about the rabbi and...
Really long. Right.
My gosh, memories flood back, let me tell you.
Yeah, so you knew so-called Rabbi Messer?
Yes, I did. And I, well, to set the story, years ago I went to a Messianic Jewish church. I'm sure you know what those are.
The Jews for Jesus.
Right, kind of.
Yeah.
A little bit, at least the place I went to, a little bit less radical, if that's the right word. But anyway, and back then, this is back in the mid-90s, Ralph was, he was a preacher. Nothing really special or different about him. But he started getting into this messianic stuff, which was okay. But then he started getting into this, everything's a punishment from God.
Oh.
If you have, you know, like in the Old Testament, you remember there were spots here in the Old Testament that tells you if you have hemorrhoids, it's because you gossip and that kind of thing.
Right.
And I broke away from the church. That's about the time I broke away from the church altogether, back about 2000. And it was about 6 months before Reggie White died. He died the day of the big tsunami. And Ralph had preached a sermon, and I had gone with a friend. I wasn't part of that church, but I had gone with a friend and sat through about an hour of his teaching about how if any sickness of any kind is a punishment from God and, you know, this kind of thing. And, of course, me being blind at that time, I finally got up and walked out, thank you very much. And he made the statement during that if you die young, there was something wrong in your life. And it's always haunted me because Reggie White died, you know, that December 25th of 2001, I believe it was, 2000. But he died the day of that tsunami. And I've always thought, well, Reggie was only 42, I think. And what do these people think? You know, do they really think God took Reggie because he'd done something wrong? And it was Rabbi Messer that had been preaching on this. And it kind of shows the hypocrisy, if you think about it, in what they preach, because they did a, you know.
Well, it's intellectually and spiritually lazy, Kevin, because if you really want to look at the death of Reggie White or any of the number of professional athletes who die young who don't even make the papers, okay.
Yep.
It has to do with what they have done to their bodies to make themselves professional athletes. The mortality rate for an offensive or defensive lineman in the NFL is shocking, okay? And it's not just because of steroids. It's because you do horrible, horrible things to your body that the human body is not designed to accommodate. And you know, the number of NFL stars who can barely move later in life is, I mean, those stories are almost a cliche because they are so rife. And I say it's intellectually and spiritually lazy because you can just say, well, you know, God was punishing him for something. Instead of looking at the surrounding cultural and socioeconomic and physical factors that actually do contribute to this sort of demise. You know, it ain't God punishing anybody.
That
is a culture, and that is an economy, and that is a society punishing someone. I saw a story earlier today about the fact that Teddy Roosevelt was really the savior of football because it was largely a sport that was being played in snotty East Coast colleges. And it was just a stone's throw from being rugby at the time. And kids, young men, were dying, dropping like flies from playing football. And there was a move afoot to ban the game as bad.
Yep.
and Teddy Roosevelt intervened somehow and got them to change the rules or something and literally saved the game of football, as the story is told.
Yep.
And but you know, generally as a nation, we don't have we don't have the curiosity or the patience to go and root out a story like that. Instead, especially in the fundamentalist community, it's a lot easier to say, well, God was just punishing him.
Well, look at what he did with this Bishop Long. This Bishop Long was accused of having sex with how many boys?
Accused of? Paid them off.
Right, right. And yet you're going to do a ceremony like that? In the, you know, that's why people are so outraged against it. It's the hypocrisy of it. You're out there condemning homosexuality, but then when Eddie Long does this, you wrap him up in some kingly robes and give him a Torah? You know, I could see why the Jews would be upset about that. I could see why the Christians should be upset about that, but most of them don't pay attention to it.
Well, and I mean, you go back to, and this is just a lovely, well, sadly ironic moment, I guess. But, you know, here's Ralph Messer, as you tell the story, Kevin, telling people that God reaches his hateful little finger down and just smites people for doing bad things. And then Reggie White dies. And before that, Reggie White had been out uttering vile and hateful, homophobic remarks.
Yeah.
And yet these fundamentalists, who also are homophobic, the light doesn't go on for them that, wait a minute, okay, if you're right about that, then God was punishing him for being a homophobe, and maybe we shouldn't be homophobes too.
No, because...
Too much work.
Even though Ralph preaches that, when Reggie dies, it's somehow God took him home early, you know. They completely forget the teaching of him. And honestly, what really upset me about that, I still remember it vividly. Sitting in there with him preaching that garbage, and I'm sitting there just starting to go through my blindness, dealing with all the psychological and emotional implications of it. And he had the balls to preach it right there to my face, and I should have had the balls to stand up and say, you're full of it. You know? I mean, God, I can't believe that you would do that to someone. And I basically left the church. The last time I was in a church of my own free will, short of going to a Christmas thing with my family or going to a funeral or something like that, they literally treated me so rudely. I got in a little mini scrap, and nobody ever wanted to hear my side of the story. You know, it was based on my blindness. I was treated rudely, and I got up and said something about it to someone. And I really almost came real close to getting in a fight in the church parking lot. And I walked away, walked down the street, big main street in Denver, and I said, I'm going to walk to the interstate. I was ticked off. I'm going to walk to the interstate. Blind man, going to walk to the interstate. Nobody even tried to stop me. You know, and that is the sadness of what Ralph Messer teaches, because certain people buy into this, and you get things like the spectacle with Eddie Long, and what happens then? You know, people don't look at it.
No, and... You'd like to, but I mean, this could be Ralph Messer and Eddie Long, or it could be the Reverend John Hagee and his, you know, starve routine, or Kenneth Copeland or Creflo Dollar or Joyce Myers, or, you know, any of them.
Yeah, but I got to say, Ralph is in a class by himself now after doing that with Eddie.
Well, Ralph is working. I mean, Ralph's got a shtick that he's working, and he was hoping that it would be an entree for him to go and do it for other people.
Yep.
And then there's a couple of appearances with that woman with the purple hair on TBN, and you know, the next thing you know, he's a big deal.
Yep. Well, he already thinks he's a big deal. but I imagine you said there was some backlash against Dean. What?
Well, it was. I mean, there were outcries from across the country from the Jewish community, and in particular, this letter of apology was written by Eddie Long, saying, "Ah, it wasn't my idea, and I sure didn't intend to participate in a ritual that would be offensive to the Jewish community or any group." And he sent that letter to Bill Nigut, who is the Southeast Regional Director of the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith.
Yep.
And graciously, Bill Nigut said, "I thought it was a very heartfelt, sincere, humble apology. I was very gratified by Bishop Long apparently recognizing what our concern was."
Well, I would assume Bishop Long went to seminary, so he should have some training in the fundamentals of...
Well, that's a bit of a stretch.
Yeah.
I mean, there's seminary, and then there's seminary.
Right.
You know, there are seminaries... Who teach, for instance, that the Bible is the literal and inspired Word of God, and you're not going to learn anything about textual criticism. You're just going to learn to regurgitate what was handed down to you. I think of a man that was on the show eons ago, a man named Carlton Pearson. He is still trying to run a ministry, but he had this moment where the light went on for him, where he realized that that there's no hell. And that most of what religion teaches is a fraud.
Yep.
And this guy he's a black man, and he came out of Oral Roberts University, and he was beloved of Oral Roberts.
Yep.
And I mean, he was doing the whole casting out demon shtick and, you know, healing people and folks rolling on the floor and all of that.
Yep.
And then one morning he got up, he mounted up to the pulpit and said, "Listen, it's all bullshit."
Yep.
And he was thrown out of his church in Tulsa quicker than you can say Oral Roberts.
Yep. MSNBC did a documentary on him. And
right.
It was before Haggard got popped. And Haggard got up there and talked about how this guy was so wrong, and he was going, you know, he possibly was going to hell for preaching that and that kind of thing. And then, of course, Haggard got popped. And, you know, it's kind of funny how it does work sometimes. But, hey, I wish I could see. I would have enjoyed it. I heard Oberman played it on his show last night, the picture of Limbaugh picking his nose. Oh, I would have loved to have seen that.
Well, I haven't yet, but I will. And... you know it's got to be a beautiful... Well, just, you know, if he's sitting there looking at it, "Hey, look, I found my brain. My friends, I have found my brain." And then kind of wiping it surreptitiously under the seat or on his trousers or whatever.
Oh, man, I tell you. I don't know. I really wonder where we're going. I listened to you and Sandra talk there. You know, that was one of the things I was thinking is, have we passed the point of no return already? Not just in climate, but in what we're doing politically, what we're doing as a country. I'm beginning to wonder if we haven't passed the point of no return already. And so it just...
Well, you can make an argument, I suppose, Kevin, that when one talks about empire, the minute empire is reached and embraced, that is a certain point of no return. That you don't easily come back from that absent significant external forces. And then, you know, there's the whole climate issue. You know, in my conversation with Jim, we were trying to remember the island chain, and in fact, yes, it is the Maldives. And I just got one of those, you know, goes out to a million people emails from Bill McKibben. And, the president of the Maldives, Mohamed Nasheed, just got ousted in a military coup, and he's under house arrest at present. His life is in danger.
Mm-hmm.
And part of the reason for his circumstance is that Maldive President Mohamed Nasheed has been very, very outspoken and very, very forthright about what the failure to address climate change means for the people of his country.
Yep.
He had them on a course to become the world's first carbon-neutral nation. Mm-hmm. And now he's under house arrest, and the Maldive military is in control. God knows why.
So they're just going to ignore the water coming up 6 inches below them and say that it's not real, it's not happening, apparently?
Apparently.
Be interesting to find out what corporate funding funded that military coup, because you know it had to be someone to be that staunch to replace him over trying to make his nation carbon neutral and actually do. I don't even care if you don't want to call it global warming. You've got to admit it if you stick your head out the door that there's something going on with the climate. You know, I mean, it doesn't take a genius to figure that out, but people still want to ignore it. And
well, I mean, I just searched because I was trying to get, while we were talking, Kevin, I was trying to get a little better idea what was going on. Yeah, you're right. You can't ignore the realities of it, whether it's the brutality of the present winter in Eastern Europe or the weirdness of me on February the 7th walking around in short sleeves and 55, 60 degree temperatures in the Appalachians. They are different sides of the same coin. So I went and I looked for what was going on, and it turns out that this coup was orchestrated by a police and army mutiny among people who were supporters of the guy that this president, Mohamed Nasheed, replaced. And the guy had been the dictator of the Maldives for 30 long years. Now, obviously, that indicates there's something more afoot. So, naturally, how does the right wing interpret it, Kevin?
Yep.
Islamic coup in the Maldives? President resigns.
Yep. Well, of course, with a name like Muhammad, it's kind of like, so what? We'll just ignore it. We'll go do our freedom fighting somewhere over in Afghanistan where we can put them under our government and have our boys killed. I had a long talk today with a caregiver talking about her kids in the military, and I just absolutely would not, if I had a child today, there's no way I'd tell that child to join the military. There's not the benefits there once were. They're subject to going over to Iraq and Afghanistan, coming back wounded, and then this friend of mine, her daughter got wounded in combat, essentially, a missile came in, and they would not give her medical disability for her wounds that she suffered in combat, you know? And it's just like, what would be the point of me going to serve my country if my country is not going to stand by me if I get injured or killed? It really has. It's extremely disappointing to see that the Obama administration has not stood up more to the right-wing so-called agenda. I hope that it is because he's waiting for a second term, but I think we've seen the evidence that that's not the case. Nonetheless, I can't see voting for any of the twits on the Republican side, and you know, I think I'd just be cutting my throat if I, well, no, I'd be setting myself on fire if I voted for Christie or Romney or Gingrich. You know, it just is sad that I would like to see either, I don't care what party, I'd like to see someone stand up and say, this is the way it is, and we're not going to go in this direction anymore. And I'm the president, I have limited power, but what power I have, I'm going to put the full weight and force of the government behind making sure that our service people are treated better, our people as a whole are treated better, and corporations are going to pay their fair share. And I think if President Obama would stand on that and actually do it, he'd be reelected with no problem. But
And some, I mean, to be fair, some of that has been done.
Some of it.
The veterans are certainly better off in the last administration.
Oh, by far. But it's still the point that aggravates you. You know, during the Bush administration, you remember the girl that was the POW for a while at the start of the war? And they tried to say how she fought heroically, and once we...
I remember she's a West Virginian. She just graduated college.
Good.
She still can't walk right, and she still has some residual damage left from the head injuries that she suffered, but she's got a little girl, and she's just graduated from college.
Good. But, you know...
The two signature women of the war were both West Virginians. This young lady, who I'm ashamed I cannot remember her name, and the other, of course, was Lindy England, who was the darling of Abu Ghraib.
Yep. And you really took the fall. If you noticed, I don't remember anybody above 02 taking any kind of accountability for that. It was all enlisted people that took the fall for that. And you can't tell me that there wasn't some officer there that...
If I recall, an officer did take a fall, but it didn't go as far up the chain as it should have.
No, that's
frankly, it should have gone all the way to the White House, but it didn't.
No, and that's what aggravates me, is the junior officer that took the fall. It wasn't a senior officer. It should have gone all the way to the senior officer in charge of that. But, of course, they hid behind "we didn't know" or whatever, which is directly against the code of the military. You take accountability for your men. And so, but yes, the VA is much better off than under the Bush administration.
I mean, just remember how much the Bush administration allowed Walter Reed Army Medical Center to deteriorate. Do you remember that horror story?
Oh, yeah.
And then the follow-up that they had brought in literally Disney to try to put a, you know, it's a small world, well, it's a small war after all, you know, try to put a happy face on it.
Yep.
Some of that stuff is just lodged in my brain and will not go away, Kevin.
Well, to his credit, the guy that took over the VA that issued the general order to clean it up, he has. But I still hear little horror stories like this where somebody's not getting what should be due them.
Well, and see that, but I think if God Almighty was president of the United States, you would still be hearing those stories. Not that I'm some sort of inveterate defender of Barack Obama, because I am not.
Right.
But in this case, they're doing better than Bush was, which I know is a hell of a standard and maybe damning with faint praise. But the point that I'm trying to make, Kevin, is that when you do to your military what George Bush did to our military, I mean, how many, the numbers are staggering of A, how many people participated in Iraq and Afghanistan, B, how many were injured, C, how many are untreated injured. I mean, I remember when the Bush administration zeroed out the budget for traumatic brain injury research at the Centers for Disease Control. That was the signature injury of that war.
Yep.
And the reason I say that anybody would be beset by these problems is because, the chickens aren't all the way home to roost yet.
Nope.
And won't be for a while.
Nope.
But because of the right wing's tenacious scream for tax cuts, you know, we generally make an assumption that, oh, well, you know, they won't touch the Pentagon. They don't touch. But they do. They touch because the VA is not the Pentagon.
Right.
The right wing doesn't have a damn bit of use for a soldier who has come home. They've got even less use for a soldier who has come home less than perfectly whole.
Yep. Have you ever wondered, and it's a rhetorical question, but have you ever wondered why so many veterans are anti-war? That's a good reason why.
Sure.
Right there.
Yeah, and by the way, Ron and Raleigh did just give me a reminder. A female colonel was the warden at Abu Ghraib and was thrown onto her sword.
Yes.
She was patsied.
Yes.
Yeah.
I remember that now. And that's a good word to call it, because that's what it was. I don't know. You've had stuff since that, though. They didn't learn their lesson from Eva Grave.
They did learn a lesson from Abu Ghraib, and the lesson was, Jesus, don't get caught.
Right, yeah, but they're still, you know, like the guys filming themselves pissing on the guy that the Afghanis, you know? I mean, now that was a real smart move. And how long were those videos out there before someone...
Well, the story didn't get a hell of a lot of play in the last couple of weeks, but a soldier was convicted of outright murder in Iraq. Okay, it was a mass murder.
Yep.
No prison time. He just gets busted down to buck private.
Yep. Yeah, I believe that might have happened here in Colorado Springs.
May have.
I heard about it.
But it just kind of slid by, and oh, God.
No, the only ones that showed any outrage over that were the family of the Afghanis that were killed, or the Iraqis that were killed. And, of course, they're outraged about it, because, like you said, what he did was outright murder. But apparently, if you're on the winning side, you write the history, so, you know. It was something heroic that he did. And I've heard people defend that guy, too, which is incredibly saddening to hear that you've got right-wing people like Limbaugh defending him and what he did, because it's the image of America that sticks in people's minds. But maybe one day we'll learn that image does go for something, and, you know, the proverbial try to win the hearts and minds, you're not going to do it by killing innocent people. So, but I do want to be clear, yes, the VA is 100% better under Obama. I have no compulsion about saying that. I'm very impressed with some of the things they've done. But you'd like
to see more, as would we all.
But
you're not going to see it as long as hardcore right-wingers who, per my conversation with Jim, who are dedicated to the absolute destruction and dissolution of this nation, are in control. Understand, the right wing, the Republican Party in this country, would gladly sing God Bless America as the Statue of Liberty crumbled and fell into the sea.
Mm-hmm.
They would sing the national anthem, metaphorically speaking, as the Washington Monument tumbled to the earth.
Yep.
There is nothing about this country that they think is worth saving unless it is doing something for the oligarchic elite. And by the way, the name of the general at Abu Ghraib was Janice Karpinski. She was a brigadier general, and she was busted to colonel.
Yep.
Yeah, that's
it. Didn't do any jail time, though, did she?
No, don't think so.
No.
But so there's that. And by the way, Jim, just listening to you, says he feels a great deal of compassion for what you had to deal with, you know, just in terms of, you know, the false prophet aspect of what you endured. And it's a bitter pill to swallow. You know, our dear friend Juanita, who began the program, has told her stories of the abuse and heartbreak that she experienced at the hands of the right wing religion industry. And it is profoundly hurtful when you finally are able to break away and see the truth of it all.
Well,
and
in terms of Ralph Messer's group, I never did join that group.
Right.
You could see problems there without looking very hard. But I went with a friend that one day, and I just, you know, I couldn't believe that they could be so unfeeling. You know, they had known me since the day I became blind, just about, and they knew what I was dealing with, some of them, and Ralph knew me before I was blind. That's the thing about it. I knew him long ago in the mid-90s, and, you know, come on. you're going to preach that stuff to my face? So I just got up and walked out, and, you know, I don't make any apologies for what happened after that, because I think I was right. Some of the content, some of the things that happened maybe could have been done a little bit different, but by God, I know that I was treated like I was because I had a disability. And I never once got an apology, what happened, you know, nothing. No phone call, no nothing. One phone call to see if I made it home, that was it. And the friend of mine that was involved with that group, I've always wondered if they're still involved with them. Because there's a whole other story there. And it's extremely sad to see how the religious people like them want to control people's lives. And, you know, like you said, you got to break away. And I still, you know, I can't go as far as being atheist. But I've come to the point of believing that my religion is what I believe. I'm not going to try and convert you to it, but nor do I want you to try to convert me to your religion either. You know, respect for each other should be
easy enough.
We have.
It should be easy enough.
Yeah.
But for the right wing, whose mamas never taught them apparently to mind their own business, it is you might as well be asking them to fly to the moon. They can't mind their own business, because they are entirely absorbed in minding the rest of ours, especially women's.
Well, apparently they want to be in everybody's bedroom.
Yeah.
You know? So.
Yeah.
So.
Absolutely.
Well, anyway, Kevin, I will let you go.
Thank you for that bit of background. I really appreciate it. It's good to hear from you, Kevin.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Bob.
Take care.
Well, have a good evening.
All right, and bye now. It's our good buddy Kevin calling from Colorado Springs. It's about 17 and a half minutes before the hour. A couple of stories worth getting to as we wind our way down and away from this. David in Tennessee, by the way, telling me that he went and took one for the team and looked up Eddie Long on Wikipedia, and he said it's just the wiki, but it's loaded with tidbits on Bishop Long. He has a B.S. in business from Central North Carolina College. His divinity training is from an unaccredited school. His title of bishop was bestowed by rebel rogue bishops that had given themselves that title too, so that's how Eddie got his. And he has a rap sheet that should stop anybody from so much as buying a banana from the man, letting alone seek his spiritual guidance. So look him up if you've just got to have a little bit more. Speaking of controlling women, and wow, isn't this just creepy? Yeah, I remember when Sam Brownback was in the Senate, and he and Rick, the frothy mixture, were just a 1-2 punch of self-righteous, bloviating fundamentalism. By the way, I now have the photograph of Rush doing that. Thank you, Spike. The look on his face is just precious. No, in the state of Kansas, you may recall in the Susan G. Komen for the Cure stories of the last few days. You may recall, and by the way, Karen Handel resigned in a snit today. There was nothing wrong with what we did. The mention along the way that the right wing persists in spreading this absolute untruth that after you have an abortion, well, God sees to it that you have a greater likelihood of catching the breast cancer. Yes. Now they do that. Well, it's back, that nasty little lie. There is a bill making its way through the Kansas state legislature. And remember, it's being advanced by the right wing. You know, the Bible people. The ones who want to post the Ten Commandments in schools with things like thou shalt not lie or bear false witness against thy neighbor in them. Remember, you know, that commandment? Well, they've got a bill. They're advancing it through the legislature of the state of Kansas that gives immunity from lawsuit to physicians in the event that said physician should withhold medical information in order to keep a woman from having an abortion. Wow, that's a big mouthful. It doesn't make a lot of sense. Kansas, right-wingers in Kansas, want to make it legal for doctors to lie openly to their patients and then be immune from lawsuit for doing so. Under this bill, a doctor also couldn't be sued for malpractice if a woman suffers an injury from a pregnancy as a result of information that was withheld from her to prevent an abortion. So let's say the pregnancy test comes back positive, and your good, upstanding, God-fearing Christian doctor knows you're pregnant, but doesn't tell you you are. Am I pregnant, doctor? My EPT said I'm pregnant. Well, the results are inconclusive, ma'am. I'm not entirely sure. You might be, you might not be. And let's say that that pregnancy turns out to be an ectopic pregnancy. Very scientific-sounding word. But a word that for those members of the species with a womb is terrifying. And to those of us who share our lives with someone with a womb, is terrifying because it can mean death. In Kansas, right-wing Republicans who have a culture of life can openly lie to a woman about a pregnancy that could kill her. Or maim her, or render her sterile, or lead to her having to have massive surgeries, can lie to her and not be suable as long as the defense is, I was doing it to keep her from having an abortion. And you know those health savings accounts that the frothy one was prattling on in the pageants about having supported? They're pretty silly, really, because there's no way you can ever save up enough money to pay for your own health care a la carte. You just can't. But let's say you're a woman in Kansas and you've been diligent and you've purchased a health savings account, and of course, you know, we can't have any abortion stuff in that there Obamacare, so you're going to have to go out and buy your own abortion coverage. Well, in the land of Kansas, it will become illegal to use funds from your very own health savings account to purchase abortion insurance coverage. In the land of Kansas, you see, insurance is forbidden from covering abortions. Reproductive health care. Abortion, schmortion. Yeah, really. These right-wingers who worship at the altar of the free market, well, the market's not that free. The market's not free enough to allow a woman to make her own choices in or on that market. Yeah. State Representative Lance Kinzer. Huh, how about that? A guy. No womb. R. Olathe. Also included in the bill, a mandate that makes doctors tell a woman that she might, God might give her the breast cancer if she goes ahead and has that demonic abortion. It's got a fetal pain provision in it. And honey, let me just tell you, I mean, here, let me stab you real good with it. Yeah, that hurt, didn't it? Yeah. Well, imagine the pain your baby will feel as it's being chopped into chutney inside of you and vacuumed out. You sure you want that abortion, sister? Under the fetal pain provision, the latest a person could have reproductive health care, a female could have reproductive health care in Kansas would be the 20-week mark. I mean, we know what these disgusting people are like. We know how they want to overreach into every aspect of a human being's life to make sure that it is suitable with their own sick and twisted religious view of existence. But yet you find yourself a little bit shocked because at the same time they go on and on and on, as I noted, about the free market. Golly, Uncle Jed, it's a free market. And yet, while you and I experience, or at least comprehend the cognitive dissonance that goes with this, them, nothing. Flatline. Beep. No. Well, of course there's a free market. Of course, but the free market should never be allowed to affect a human life. Oh, really? Like foreclosure where people kill themselves in their houses? And then, yeah, no. Breathtaking. And because it's Kansas, it's also going to happen. You want to know how bad this bill is? A lone voice. A woman. A woman who is a right-wing, pro-life Republican is raising a clamor against it. Her name is Representative Barbara Bollier. She's a repig-lickin' from Mission Hills, Kansas. She's also a retired anesthesiologist. And she's trying to stop it. You know, in its early days, Kansas was called Bloody Kansas. Kansas is, of course, where Dr. George Tiller, at the urging and machinating and procurement and pimping of Bill O'Reilly, was murdered because he provided much-needed services to women who could not otherwise get them. It's the Kansas of John Brown. And what, Quantrill's Raiders, Missouri and Kansas, the Border War, the Civil War, known as Bleeding Kansas, yes. And bleed it still does. Guys, a moment for a question for you. If you lived in Kansas and some doctor deliberately lied to you and your wife and brought hellish harm to her, and you knew that the Kansas legislature had declared that that person was protected by the laws of the state from you being able to sue for what was done to your wife. What would you do? What would you do? But you see, these again, this is a case of laws that can, there's no way around the fact that these laws are driven by religion, by the particularly sick and twisted vision of religion that these fundamentalists hold. And because of that, even if it happened to one of these fundies' daughters, that's all right, that's what Jesus wants, and why should I ever question Jesus? Yeah. Yeah. So that's where we're going to wind up. Tomorrow, of course, we will be midway through the week. Thank you for joining in this evening in the conversation via your emails, your participation in the chat room. Thank you to the one individual who contributed this evening and took care of last night's fundraising. That means tomorrow night all we have to do is catch up with tonight and tomorrow night. And yeah. Remember, the Thrifty 250 is 250 folks who will pony up 10 bucks apiece. And that way we keep all this going here. And thank you for those of you who do contribute. And to those of you who are absolutely unable, it's understood. It's absolutely understood. Thanks to all the volunteers who make all of this happen, our chat room moderators, Lottie and Sparky, our news ninjas, Susan, Gene. Thanks to our blogger, Texas Betsy. Thank you to our op-ed correspondent, Reverbo. Thank you to my head writer, David in Tennessee. To John Fox, thanks for all that he does with the website and with everything that goes on behind the scenes here. Thanks to Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org, for going on 10 years, serving out over 10 million hours of liberal talk radio and never sending a bill. Thanks. And, of course, none of this would happen without the help of the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. Go there, learn about the Coal River Wind Project, sign up for the newsletter, and maybe even get yourself quite possibly the coolest t-shirt there is, Save the Endangered Hillbilly. It gets comments wherever you go, trust me. I've worn mine places and people, I'll buy it from you right off your back, Bob. Except for the fact that I'm all pale and pink and don't real look real good naked from the waist up. I'd have sold it. I wouldn't have sold it. I'd have given it to them. But go to crmw.net and learn about the work of Coal River Mountain Watch. And always, 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 Gina, Judy, it's all for you.